Blizzard is set to retire a name that's almost synonymous with online gaming. Could the Wii U soon be leaving retail? Also, we're joined live by musician Aethernaut, answering your questions right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 659 for this September the 25th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. And joining me, as always, here in studio to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with those of you live at the Voice Geeks Network. Say hello here in studio to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yep. Eating pizza, right? getting the fuel needed to get through a show.
Exactly.
Is that one of your super bacon pizzas?
It is my triple bacon pizzas.
I haven't seen you bring one of those to the show in a while.
No, I didn't. And they were very confused on the phone when I asked them, like, I want a triple bacon pizza. They're like, well, we don't have a triple bacon pizza. We have a triple pepperoni pizza. I'm like, no.
You don't understand. I want you to put bacon on it.
I want you to put three times the amount of bacon on the pizza. And they had to, like, kind of, like, mentally process that for a second there and, like, okay, we can do that.
Okay, I was going to say, this shouldn't be that complicated. I've seen that meme out there that's the, what is it, a nun pizza with left beef? Have you seen that meme out there?
No.
Where people call and they get the pizza and it's like no cheese, no sauce. Because, like, you know, when you order a pizza online, you can fill out and check everything. So people order it, it's like no cheese, no pizza, or no sauce, no anything. So it's like, it's just the dough and it's nun pizza. And then they'll put beef on half of it. So it's a nun pizza with left beef. And the pictures you get are just, I know, right? Like, you're laughing because it's, like, so stupid. It's funny. Like, a lot of internet memes are so stupid, they're funny. So, you know, there's that one. So I just, it's funny that I'm sure these pizza places get tons of crazy orders, yet a triple bacon pizza
is like nothing. We used to get, like, weird, like, quadruple sausage pizzas and stuff. And sausage is a little bit different with bacon. Bacon's basically just bacon bits, and then they cook them longer. So it's, I don't know, crispier bacon bits, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, the sausage is actually, like, raw sausage. And so you basically have a nice half-inch thick layer of sausage just smothered over the pizza when you get it at that point. Because you're not having little sausage meatballs anymore. It's just, it's one layer of sausage at that point.
I see. Not joining us this week, of course, Dark Sakura. Just a reminder, she's out for a couple of months due to some work conflict, but we will hear from her later in the show, thanks to the magic of radio. But I do want to introduce, of course, our ever-present chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where we do tape our shows Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, where Alan Alchemy is actually posting pictures of the Nun Pizza with Left Beef. Just in case y'all didn't hear about that meme, there it is. So thank you. You get the full experience when you listen live and get the links on demand for some of the things we're talking about here in studio. So I had a really interesting day. I got to tell you about this, Loki. I think you'd get a kick out of this. And this is one of those things where my friend that I did this with asked me, please don't talk about this. Don't tweet about it. I don't want you telling other people about this and associating me with it. So, of course, I'm going to open my show with it and talk about it here because it involves Shane. So this is the deal. So I guess he had gone to his stylist, or I'm going to be in so much trouble for this, but this isn't a bad thing at all, actually. This is a great story. I guess he had gone to a stylist or something, and the stylist, I guess he was having hand pain or hand issues or something like that. So the stylist actually recommended to him, like, you should go get a manicure. You should go get the manicure because they will, you know, give the massage your hand and you'll feel a lot better afterwards. So, you know, he wanted to go make an appointment to get the manicure pedicure type of thing, but didn't want to do it himself. So me being the good friend that I am, even though I kind of dragged my feet about it too, I'm like, why am I paying money to do this? But so we went, and actually I have to say, although it was kind of weird that there were like 40 women in that place and just us, I've never been one to really give a crap about gender norms. B, I actually thought, like, wow, they did a really good job cleaning my nasty ass nails, and they've never looked so consistent. No, I didn't get them painted or anything like that. They asked if I wanted color, but I kind of left black nail polish in my goth phase that I went through in my early 20s. So, you know, I didn't get that done, but I did have the full thing, and I was like, okay, this is pretty, it's kind of like when you go to the dentist and you get the deep teeth cleaning. I needed a deep nail cleaning because, you know, sometimes weird stuff goes on with your nails. So I thought it was all right. Have you ever had a manicure pedicure, Loki?
No.
You should think about it. It's actually kind of they have the whole chair that massages you. And then after they do all that, they like full on massage your hand, massage your legs. And I was like, all right, I can kind of go with this. The only complaint I had was that it was so much sensation going on at once. Like I got one girl that's working on my hand, one girl that's working on my leg. The massage chair is going off and I'm just like, okay, wow, this is overload. This is almost like too much stimulation going on here. But yeah, I survived. And now I feel like my legs are good enough. I could go play DDR again. So there you go. let's see. Alan Alchemy in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, professional athletes get pedicures every week, soccer, baseball, or otherwise. Yeah, it's not something that's, I mean, I know it's something that society kind of looks at as a very feminine thing, and you know, but what is that stuff anymore? And I just, you know, I thought it was, I'm like, I don't know if I do it every day or every week or even every month, but it's kind of one of those things where like, all right, maybe every 6 months I would, you know, especially if my nails start to look a little like creepy on my toes, I might be like, all right, well, maybe I should just get this professionally treated. I'm going to treat myself to a foot massage. So there it is.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Exactly. That's what it was for me. So there you go. And yes, that does have to do with video games because these are the hands that hold controllers. These are the feet that play DDR. So yes, darn it, this does have to do with gaming. But I suppose we should get into a real kickoff topic, shouldn't we? Let's talk about a story about another retro game making its return to the arcades. And this is something kind of similar to what we've seen happen with, I think, Pac-Man, what we saw happen, I think, recently with Galaga, and that is old school video games coming back as ticket redemption games.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's another one about to come out. It's Breakout. You know Breakout? It's like kind of like souped up Pong. Arachnoid was probably the most well-known kind of clone, I guess you could say, of Breakout.
Arachnoid? You mean Arkanoid? Arkanoid.
Why did I say Arachnoid? Suddenly it's a game that involves spiders. Arkanoid was the game that was kind of like a, I don't want to say a clone of this, because it kind of
like
just
a brick breaker.
It kind of took the format and moved it a little bit more forward. But Breakout was kind of the original that was on the 2600, and it was an arcade game. So Breakout is coming back to arcades, and it's coming back from a company called Coastal Amusements is the manufacturer, and they are making this, and it has a spinner controller, just like the old arcade game. It's obviously very colorful with the colored bricks, kind of like what you used to see on the Atari 2600. But this time, it will give you tickets as a reward for when you win. Now, when they were questioned about this, they did say, Breakout is ticket redemption only at this time. The operator can turn off the ticket dispenser, but this will not deactivate the ticket scoring options in the game. This may come at a later time. So in other words, you could see it as an arcade game that doesn't spit tickets, but the game is still telling you that you're winning tickets even though you're not actually getting any
tickets.
You're
winning so many tickets. Ha, they're just not real.
But, you know, I've been making all these trips recently to Round 1 and so forth and, you know, kind of trying to get into arcades again, especially now that more and more are coming up because of Round 1, because you're seeing a very interesting sort of mobile's influence on the arcade scene a little bit. But, like, I don't know how to phrase it. Like this, like Breakout here, this is, I think, was a mobile game not that long ago. I think Breakout was called, Breakout Boost was on the mobile phones. And this is kind of a version of that. And I know we've talked a lot about arcades are dying and it sucks that they're all ticket redemption games and little kids and it's just gambling for them. It's getting them ready for Vegas and all this stuff and what happened to the old school arcade games. But it seems like not only is this really dominating, like, okay, so I put my money in, I play a game of Breakout, I get 10 tickets and I can use those tickets to buy like a wax fingernail. I can use to buy a bouncy ball. One of those little things that you push down on the counter and then it goes pop and it pops up. I can buy something stupid with those tickets, right? Like candy or something. But then I think about, okay, well, but the Japanese video games, in the music genre that I'm very fond of right now that, you know, are part of the reason why I go to places like Round One, like DDR, like Beatmania 2DX, like Crossbeats, those sorts of games. What do all those have in them? They don't spit out tickets. But now everything is tied to a card, or it's tied to your mobile phone. You longtime Konami Music Game fans, I'm sure, are familiar with eAmusement and that whole pass system, right? So you're not getting tickets for physical rewards, per se, but it does seem like you're still getting, based on how well you do and how much you clear in Beatmania 2DX or how much you clear when you're playing DDR, you're getting arbitrary points tied to this account that you use to unlock virtual things. Like, I was playing the brand new DDR finally. It was actually before the last episode. I just neglected to talk about it last week. But I finally played DDR Ace for the first time last Saturday. And, you know, I had to play the Ariana Grande song that's in that because it's awesome. But, you know, there's a lot of other fun new songs that are in it as well. And so I played like a set of those songs and used my eAmusement card because I have one because of Beatmania 2DX. And it showed, it did like a little meta thing at the end where it was like, you earn 30 steps. And the little guy climbed up the stairs and I got so far that I unlocked a song. I unlocked the Bomani classic song Make a Jam, which, you know, if you ever played the old...
Like, hooray!
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, oh, yay, that song. But, you know, I'm like, okay, well, that's like a real retro kind of like neat thing. But I was still going, wait a minute. In this whole process, I earned virtual credit that just went to virtual rewards instead of the crappy physical rewards we're used to with ticket games. And this is true of a lot of these games now. This is true of Crossbeats. This is true of Beatmania 2DX. This is true even – there's what's that called? The Konami and Disney have a game, Tsum Tsum, I think it's called. These little tiny chibi Disney characters. And it's a match three game. The arcade game is a match three game. But you actually get little physical things that are kind of like Amiibo, but they're really, really small. Like they look like the type of thing you would have put a quarter in the machine in the old days and gotten a little bubble. Like it's just like that. Uh-huh. But yet again, crappy little physical reward. For playing, although if you're a Disney collector and a fan, I'm sure it's not so crappy. But still, it's a little cheap physical reward as something you get for playing the game. And I'm kind of like, so even though we've been sitting here kind of criticizing the whole ticket culture, I almost feel like currency changing is everywhere in the arcade now. It's here. It's taken over. And it might not just be physical tickets, but it's everywhere. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is the future of arcades? Is it's incentive to go visit because there is something that you're working towards. There's a currency, there's unlocks, there's something to keep bringing you back. What do you think of all that, Logie?
It's just free to play games. That's basically what it is, except you're paying money for them. I mean, look at like most of the games out there nowadays that are free to play have the dual currency where, you know, you have something that you earn in the game and you have something that you buy. So I don't know. It's a nice thing to have, I guess, if you're playing arcade games, to have like some sort of, I don't know, trophies and that kind of support is kind of nice. But at the same time, I think they're just trying to get you to play more games, obviously, so that they make more money off of it, which makes sense. And Make a Jam, seriously. That's like, I guess it's better than nothing.
Well, it's the first one, and I don't know. You know, I didn't play enough to get to whatever the second one was. Because by the time I was, well, A, now that I'm 38 years old, I don't have the stamina I had when I was like 24 and first getting into these games, right? So I don't. It's kind of different. But so I couldn't play the game over and over and over again. But also B, it started to fill up a little more in the arcade, so it was like I would have to wait a while. So I really only got to play like two rounds, and then it was like that's really it. So I don't know what other unlocks you get, but I imagine there's some other, you know, new things, and they're probably all originals. I can't imagine there's any licenses that are locked away. But I'm sure there's a list online somewhere of what they all are. But I imagine if, you know, it's just cute little things for people who have played DDR for years and years and remember some of the old songs. So JD in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com points out Make a Jam is greater than Let Them Move. That's true. That's true. At least I didn't unlock that. Dark Tetsuya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, well, DDR has been doing that for ages. Remember the days of Max 2? I want to hear that story again. Okay, I'll tell an abbreviated version of it. For those that didn't know the arcade machine DDR Max 2, those were really fun days. And when we really, oh God, it feels like grandpa telling a story about the old days. But, you know, in the early days of Orange Lounge Radio, when those machines were still kind of newish, you know, there was a real culture around working together to get unlocks on those machines. And what it was is that when you played the machine, you got, I think it was, and it's been a while, you guys, I'm going to get some of the facts wrong, but I think you got points based on how well you did, or like, I don't remember if it was like if you ate a song, it was like 2 points or 1 point. I just remember there was a way you could get more points, but not a lot. But you would get these points, and it would slowly count down this point clock. And when the point clock got to the end, it unlocked a song. But because this was over 10 years ago, there was no cards, there was no, you know, smartphones or anything like that, that it was tied to you. You were unlocking these things as an arcade community on the same machine. So when you did an unlock and the counter got to zero, you unlocked something permanently for the entire arcade, basically. And so that built this real sense of, oh, we're going to all go down Wednesday night and we're going to work on unlocks, or, you know, maybe a post on a forum that says, because again, no Facebook yet, but a post on a forum somewhere that says, oh, the counter is down to 20, so we're surely going to get the next unlock tonight. So, you know, people might go to see what it is, even though, you know, the list ended up on DDR Freak, I'm sure, not that long after the machine came out.
Well, I thought it was random. It wasn't necessarily the same each time.
You know, and I don't remember all those intricacies because it has been a while. I do feel like at one point it's like it would skip to 4, 8, like it kind of bounced around a little bit. I don't remember what it was that would cause it to do that. But I also remember at some point they finally did, like a year later, release a code that would just unlock everything if your arcade was slow, because some arcade operators, I'm sure, started to feel like, I'm getting a little left behind because everybody else is at this other arcade, and now this is the place to be because they have all the DDR songs and I don't. So they started actually releasing codes that would unlock everything automatically for you, pretty much. So that was pretty cool. Act Deft in chat says, those were the days. And Dark Tetsuya says, I think AAAs were like 3 or more. Yeah, I know you would get like massive amounts of points on the machine for doing that. But anyway, Loki, what do you think about the retro titles turning into ticket redemption games? Is that a horrible defacing of a game like Breakout or Galaga? Or is it, at least my kid will get to play it?
No, it's not even the same game. And honestly, it's just more of trying to cash in on nostalgia. Because they're really targeting, I think, towards adults. Kids don't know what the hell that crap is.
Yeah.
They may know what Tetris is, but they're not going to know what Breakout is. So it's just, it's trying to cash in on nostalgia. Because, I mean, even I heard my coworkers talking about, oh, they're like, oh, yeah, haven't been to that coin-op, you know, bar, but, you know, I heard they have all the old arcade games there. Oh, we should go try that. That'd be fun. I remember playing those, you know. So I think that's kind of what it is. They're just trying to cash in on nostalgia.
Yeah. A place like Coin-Op, though, they don't really have, I mean, they don't have any ticket games. It's a bar pizza type
right,
of place.
Right, but I'm thinking more like Dave and Buster's, that type of thing.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, that's more the, or even Round One is more the type of place.
Or you go, you know, to the arcade, you know, or golf land or whatever. You know, you go to one of those places with your kids, and your kids are playing some stupid game, and you're like, oh, hey, Breakout, I remember that, you know, and you know, getting the adults in on that.
I see. So it's kind of a way to bring the adults in to maybe play something with the kid because it's working on their nostalgia factor. Yeah. Okay.
And that, it's also, I think, a desperation because, you know, was this Atari?
Well, it's Breakout? An Atari property.
Yeah. Say no more. Atari doesn't really know what to do with their properties anymore, and so they're desperate to try to make money with them. Like, for example, they tried relaunching, you know, Alone in the Dark, because remember the last one, not so great. The one now, really not great, and it's just they're trying to relaunch a lot of these properties to make some money off of these old IPs that they have, and that's where they feel they're going to do it, in mobile or in maybe Redemption.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Atari does definitely thrive a lot on the retro stuff. The Vault is a huge thing on Steam right now, and I think what that's on iOS as well. You know, they kind of repackage their old games. But to be fair, that collection's pretty solid as long as you're willing to go without the games that really made the 2600 great, which was all by other companies, like Activision made, yeah. I mean, made all the great games really on 2600, and iMagic, and, you know, there were some other ones as well. But, yeah, those are the companies that really put Atari kind of over, I think, a little bit. Anyway, we're going to get into our gaming weeks as well a little bit later here, but we have an interview on tonight's show and a guest that we're welcoming to the show, so we're actually going to get him on the line here in just a moment. We're going to be joined tonight live by Aethernaut. Aethernaut is a musician who's going to be performing live at Gamer X4 this weekend, which we're actually going to be at as well. So we'll get to see him perform, and hopefully you guys will as well if you're going to be there. We're going to get him on the line to talk about his music and his latest collaborative release. I think we have him on the line. Aethernaut, you there with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, welcome to Orange Lounge Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good.
So
nice chill Sunday night.
Yeah, I know, right? This is just, Sunday night is a nice relaxing time to kind of kick back and do things like a podcast with your buddies.
Yeah, it's actually my game day.
Is it your game day?
Pathfinder every Sunday.
What kind of video games are you playing lately?
Oh, let's see. So I jumped on the No Man's Sky bandwagon for a while. That was fun.
Yeah.
But it didn't last too long. Been playing Dark Souls 3, and that was awesome. I really enjoyed that one. I'm looking forward to the DLC.
Yeah, they still haven't announced that DLC yet, have they?
They have.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it should be coming out probably around this holiday season.
I haven't been following that series as closely because I just get too frustrated with it. I tried to get into it way back when it was Demon's Souls. And,
yeah.
you know, just it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this really is too hard. And I get it, but my partner is super, super into it and plays all those games. And, yeah, I think is really excited about the DLC as well, but I can't get into it in the same way. So, but that's all right. That's why there's different types of games out there for everybody. So you are a musician who definitely has a lot of video game influence in his music, right? Chiptune, I guess you would call it, right?
Yes, indeed, chiptune.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into that. Like, what made you decide, I want to create this kind of music?
Well, I have been a gamer for pretty much my entire life, and a musician for my entire life as well. and I've always loved the music in the games that I used to play so much, in fact, that I would just leave it running and just do something else, like play with Legos or whatever. But the music would still be running.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably some of my strongest memories of earlier video games. And several years back, a coworker of mine had put on his iPod at work, and it was a whole bunch of chiptune stuff. And I was blown away. I had never heard anything like this. I was like, oh, this sounds like all the old games that I used to play. And he was like, yeah, these are some people out from New York that have been using old systems to write new music. And I was just floored by it. And so I kind of looked up some of these people and some ways that I could do it myself, and have, I guess, successfully melded my music past with my video game past into something new that I can share with other people.
So you talk about your music past. So music was something you were kind of doing before you were making the chiptune music? Like, were you involved in, like for me, not everybody knows this, I was a total band geek in high school, which, you know, in some ways might be how I kind of got into radio in a little bit, and the voice of broadcasting and all that. But I was a clarinet player. Like, was that kind of like you too? You were kind of grew up on music in that same regard? Or was this kind of
how you did it? So I was raised on classical music. And so I took violin lessons, piano lessons. So I took classical lessons. And, you know, growing up, I was in the high school orchestra and things like that. You know, as I got into high school, I started listening to a whole bunch of other kinds of music, and especially electronic music. And it really, really stuck with me. And when I started writing, actually, like, composing music, I was composing electronic music, albeit it was, like, really terrible house music when I first started.
That's okay, because the first episodes of this show were really, really bad. We all have to start somewhere.
So then, yeah, I just started to... I had these moments of going back to my roots and incorporating what I learned from my classical training and from what I've learned from, you know, messing around with like rock indie and experimental stuff, and I kind of just threw that all together into what it is now.
So speaking of the classically trained end of it, I know one way that a lot of people recognize you, if they've ever seen you perform before, a lot of people know you as, wait a minute, that's the chiptune guy who rocks that violin when he's on stage. So is that like, is that kind of how your like classic past kind of melds with your chiptune self?
So the violin is my main instrument. I've been playing that since I was five. And, when I was writing chiptune, when I first started writing it, I was just cranking out song after song because I was so excited about it. I finally had this medium that, I felt like I was able to fully express who I was. And, when I thought about it and, you know, I was like, well, you know, I would like to perform this stuff live, but how am I going to do that? And I thought, well, may as well use what I've, you know, what I'm good at, what I've been doing for years, and that would be playing the violin. So I looked into how I would be able to do that, and I found a pitch to MIDI converter, which it translates each individual note from a stringed instrument into a MIDI signal, and then I can trigger different sound banks from there.
Huh.
So using one of those, I'm able to actually play all of these melodies on the violin itself.
That's awesome. That's pretty clever how you kind of brought all that together there through the technology and the programs. So go into our chat, and if you have questions for Aethernaut, you can ask in our chat room, of course, over at live.vognetwork.com. Some folks kind of following up on some of the things you've talked about. Dungeon Buster says, speaking of keeping old games running just for the music, I miss the sound and music modes that used to be in many of the option menus. That's right. A lot of the old video games would kind of have the soundtrack built into the game in a very plain sound test menu. Where did that ever go? I don't think many games today have that, do they?
You know, the last one that I remember seeing was in Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast.
That's right. I do remember that. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Surely there had to have been something on PlayStation 2 or something with that. I'm drawing a blank right now. Very good call out from Bobby Blackwolf. Smash Brothers has it. That's right. That would be a very modern game that has that. And yeah, there's so much Nintendo music in the newer Smash Brothers games. Good memories. Good memory there in our chat. So you are actually going to be performing at GamerX 4 this coming weekend, right?
Yes, I am. I'm really, really excited about it.
Yeah, you were there the first year, right? And so you're
I was there for year 1 and 2.
Got it. So you're coming back for year 4. Tell our folks what they have to look forward to. Tell me, I'm going to be there, so tell me what I have to look forward to.
So there is going to be you know, a lot of the same old tunes that you've heard me play before, and a few new ones. I just recently released a split EP with another local chiptune group called the Chunderfins. It's actually just one guy, but he's absolutely amazing, and he was a lot of fun to work with. And it's a 4-song EP, and it is released through the net label Cheap Beats. You can find it on Bandcamp. And the name of it is kind of strange. It's called Sugar Knot Chunder Crisp. You're probably going to have to look at it in a link or something. But its theme was breakfast cereal. And so we kind of just wrote songs based on that theme, kind of capturing the feeling of like waking up on a Saturday morning and like having your cereal and watching cartoons.
And somebody actually posted a link there in our chat room. JD actually sent a link there over to your band. Well, actually, this is a special, since this is a collaborative one, this is like a separate Bandcamp page for this, right? But you have albums that you have on your own Bandcamp page, right?
I do. So this particular EP was a collaborative effort. And so we decided to actually go through Cheap Beats, which is a net label, a chiptune net label specifically. So that's the first one actually released on a label, but you can also go to aethernaut.bandcamp.com and check out some of the stuff that I have put out by myself.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, I would totally buy that cereal.
Just so. Oh, yeah. It looks really delicious, doesn't it?
And it's nice that the cereal has a catchy theme song to go with it, kind of like Nintendo cereal used to do, or Honeycomb. Like, who doesn't remember the Honeycomb song or any of that stuff? question in chat, a couple people asking about the technology that you use. What do you use for your virtual studio technology and your digital audio workstation?
So for my digital audio workstation, I use Reason. They've come out with version 9 not too long ago and with an update for that. But I also use a tracker called Famitracker. There's plenty of other trackers out there too, but Famitracker I specifically like to use because I think it works very intuitively, and it has different chipset options. I can do some FM work. I'm kind of geeking out with words here, but so yeah, I primarily use Reason and Famitracker and kind of just program everything by hand.
There must be some other music nerds that make their own, and I use that term lovingly. Nerd is a good person. There must be some other folks in chat that know, because I'm kind of smiling and nodding at those things, because admittedly, nope. I don't. I mean, you know, I can talk podcasting, but I've never tried to make and compose music here. But I think that's really cool. I think there's a lot more. It's kind of it's like making a game. I think there's so many layers that go into it that people like don't even realize, right? Especially when you're...
Yeah, there are quite a lot of layers. But you know, that's not to say all of chiptune has a lot of layers, because a lot of it really has only four.
True.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, just a quick rundown of what Famitracker is. It's a little program that harnesses the chipset of, you know, whatever old system. The biggest one that would be used is probably the NES. And you use hexadecimal code to program each, you know, notes, and you can add effects and slides and vibrato and all that stuff.
I know our pal Bobby Blackwolf does his own music composition as well, and he's in chat saying, I was a tracker back in the 90s, used Scream Tracker and Impulse Tracker back when I was in the demo scene. I think even I know Scream Tracker, so I remember the old school stuff like that, so... I would look at it and go, this is complicated. And that was, but that's, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what's in the future for you? Are you going to be working on any more albums? I know you just put out this EP, but you thinking about what you're going to do next?
Yeah. So I am actually currently in the middle of, my second full length, which this is very sad, but it's taken me over 2 years. A lot of things have kind of gotten in the way, or I've had to revamp the idea of it several times, but I think I finally got it down, and hopefully that will be coming out this next year, probably early 2017. And now I'm going to feel pressure to actually get it out in time.
Sorry about that. You know what, though? You've been working on that probably not as long as Loki's been working on his game, which still isn't out. So you know what? You're okay.
I'm not working on it.
Good. Good work takes time. It takes a lot of time, for sure. Gosh, what else? There was something on the tip of my tongue I want to ask you about. I guess tell us a little more about like the live performance end of stuff. Like, how do you feed off the audience and stuff when you're performing live, or is it kind of one of those things where you get in the zone, you kind of tune that stuff out, or how does the live performance thing kind of differ for you from when you're doing that versus kind of sitting at your workstation?
Okay. So, when I do a live performance, I absolutely feed off of the energy in the audience. I'm always a nervous wreck when I get up there, every single time without fail. But you know, as I start to play and I feel, you know, people are getting into it, they're actually dancing, they're clapping, or, you know, just their response is what gives me more energy to keep going. And, you know, eventually through the set, I start to calm down, and then I really get into the groove, and then, yeah, I just go nuts. I like making people happy. So,
well, I think you're going to make a lot of people happy at GamerX in just a few days. I'm excited to see you live. I know some of our participants who are going to be going there. Hopefully they're all going to take some time to check out the concert and all that. Which night are you performing? Friday, Saturday?
Oh, if I had to guess, I would say Saturday. I think Friday's what, opening ceremonies? Is that right?
In the morning? I don't. Sadly, I, I should have had the schedule in front of me, but I don't. But I will check that out right after this interview. But okay. I'm sure you'll be around for sure, and people should consult their programs.
Yeah, I'll be there the whole weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, us too. So definitely look forward to that. Real quick, one other question here from chat, and this is a real good one here before I let you go. Dungeon Buster says, has Aethernaut ever scored a game or would like to score one? And if yes, what kind of game would they want to score? Have you worked with games?
Yes, I've done a few games with a buddy of mine that used to live out here. They're mobile games. Let's see. The first one that I worked with him on actually was a two-person, same computer, kind of just like battle game called Blip Bloop. Then we worked on another one that was a mobile game called Chroma Calamity. Kind of like a match the color, gets progressively harder. And then we did one called Cosmic Drift, which was another mobile game. We are currently working on another one that I cannot divulge too many details about right now, but that will be hopefully going up onto Steam Greenlight sometime soon. Very, very soon. But yes, I would actually very much like to score video games and sound design video games for, like, that's my dream job. I would love to do that full time. So yeah, if you guys out there are indie devs and are looking for music or sound design, let me know.
Well, I'll tell you what, GX4 is a great place to network with people, because I did a lot of that last year when I went, got some guests for the show that were making games. So I think you're going to find a lot of great networking opportunities there. So that's going to be awesome. Do you do other conventions as well? Is there anything else that's coming up that you're performing at that you know of?
Currently, I might be going out to MAGFest.
Ooh.
So that might be fun. It'll be my first time going. I don't think I'll be playing main stage, but I might be playing one of the sideshows.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Good luck. I hope that works out. I went to MAGFest for the first time this year, and I had a great time. I'm already set up to go back next year. I don't perform, but I kind of bob my head while I listen to the music.
Oh, yeah. You know, even if you don't go as a performer, it's great to go just because of all the games and music going on 24/7 for the entire thing. It's really an amazing experience from what I hear, and I'm really looking forward to experiencing it myself.
Awesome. Well, then I hope to see you at MAGFest as well. But for now, I will settle with seeing you this weekend at GamerX4. We are going to check out one of your songs as we conclude here. This is one of your collaborative songs off of the new EP, Sugarknot Chundercrisp. We're going to check out a song called Saturday Morning. Before I get into that song, any links to plug, social media to plug, anything that we should be following you on to check out the latest and greatest?
You can keep up with happenings on Twitter. My handle is at Aethernaut is dead. That is D-E-D. So Aethernaut is dead. And you can just search for Aethernaut on Facebook. You already have the link for my Bandcamp. I'm also on SoundCloud if you just want to simply listen to stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and some of the chatters are saying R.I.P. And I was thinking that's kind of a morbid handle, but it's it's D-E-D. And that's, I think, isn't that kind of the response to, like, when something really big happens in media, something really shocking happens, like Rue brings two queens back into the competition and it's OMG dead, right? It's that kind of dead, right? All right, I tried.
We'll go with that. We'll go with that.
It's probably for the best. You distance yourself as far as possible from that comment. Aethernaut, thank you so much for being here. We're going to check out the tune Saturday Morning. Check this out from the EP Sugarknot Chundercrisp, available cheapbeatsmusic.bandcamp.com. Check it out. Thanks again, Aethernaut, for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
from the EP Sugar Knot Chunder Crisp. That is Aether Knot. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Really appreciate that. And be sure to, again, you can check that out over on Bandcamp. It's only, what, $4 for a digital version of the EP. And I think $7 to get like a special, like that would actually come in a CD case and all that fancy stuff. So I would really encourage you all to buy that. I plan to forego a pumpkin spice latte this week. I know it's a big sacrifice, but you know what? Chiptune music that's awesome like that, and you know, Aether Knot coming on our show and being supportive and all that stuff, definitely worth it. So I encourage you guys, if you like that song, which it sounds like a lot of you guys in our chat did, check that out as well. Thanks again to Aether Knot for being on tonight's show, and we'll be seeing him at GamerX this weekend. Anyhow, let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of games that we've been playing this week. Loki.
I haven't played too much. I meant to, but just didn't do it. So basically just the same three mobile games I've been playing every week. That's Nonstop Nights and Ingress and Pokemon Go. Haven't been playing a whole ton of Ingress, just a bare minimum right now, just because I'm very close to getting my last Sojourner badge, which for those not playing the game, that means you play every single day consecutively for 360 days. So I have about three more days left to do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then I can stop.
Then you delete it.
Then I can stop. Well, I'm going to delete it. It's just I won't feel the pressure to have to go out. Like if I don't feel like we're going anywhere, like out of the house or something, I don't have to like, okay, I got to make a special stop to the park to go hack this portal real quick. And yeah. And then, of course, you know, Pokemon Go is kind of eh. It's whenever I'm driving slow enough. So if I'm stuck in traffic, I switch from Ingress to Pokemon Go because I feel like getting candy every 3 kilometers. Ooh, one candy. Ooh. It's like, it's just, my son's like, hey, what if I put a Pidgey as my friend? I'm like, that would be a waste. Since she,
son, that would be a real dumb idea. Don't
let's
do
not
it.
Do that. So I have one on, I have mine on a Charmander right now because, you know, there's hardly any around here for some reason. I never see him.
I have a Lickitung as my pal, which is actually kind of stupid because he doesn't evolve into anything. But since they're so rarely caught, it's a very good way for me to power them up. So my plan is to have the most powerful Lickitung in all of California.
All right.
Goals.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been doing.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, Feast.
Yeah, that's it, unfortunately.
All right, that's okay. Kind of piggybacking on that a little bit, getting into my gaming week, I've also been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go because I actually got the accessory, the Pokemon Go Plus accessory, arrived this week. I pre-ordered it way back when it was first available, you know, before the craze all started, pretty much. That was such a hipster thing to say, sorry. But I did pick that up. I didn't even get it the very first day. I was still, I guess, in the second wave or something. But I did finally get the accessory earlier this week. So I was able to try it out for a little bit. When you get the device, it comes on a belt clip, but you can actually take off the back with a screwdriver and screw it onto that more familiar wristband that a lot of people are seeing. So there's kind of the two different ways that you can use that device. And here's the thing. It will light up and it will vibrate when there's a Pokemon nearby. And I think it lights up blue. And I couldn't tell if it was vibrating or not because I was using the belt clip. But when you're near a Pokestop, mm-hmm. It actually lights up blue. And you hit the button and you will either, I think you have a 50-50 chance to catch the Pokemon, whatever it is. Or you will get the items from the Pokestop.
It's less than that.
Is it even less than that?
For example, I've seen people online posting that about out of the 15 Pokemon that come by, 14 of them run away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Especially when you're high enough level.
See, I only really was able to run a test in this neighborhood, and I only ran into like 2 Pokemon my whole little walk that I did, but I did catch both. So I guess, but it was like, I think one was like a Pidgey Rattata type of easy thing. And the other was like a Nidoran, which, you know, that is still pretty common. So, I didn't try to catch anything any bigger than that. But here's the thing. When you're running that device, you still have to have your phone nearby. The two are tethered via Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So you can have the app asleep, which is, you know, it's going to save on battery life. But it's important to know the Pokemon device, the Pokemon Go Plus, is still getting the GPS data fed through the phone. So the phone essentially is still running the game in the background, like in your pocket. It's just not draining the battery as heavy, but it will be a battery drain. That device will not replace your phone completely. So as long as you go into it knowing that, then I think the device is kind of a neat little thing. I mean, it's if you think about it, it's all it is. It's just a little wearable button, and the button changes colors, and you hit the button. That's all it does, and it's operating the game in your pocket, basically. But I think where this would most be useful is, you know, if I'm the type of person who said, okay, well, I'm going to use Pokemon Go as part of my getting fit and doing more walking and incorporating more of that into my routine. The nice thing is that if you're going to use Pokemon Go with your wristband as opposed to playing the game in your pocket, if you are going to walk and play Pokemon Go, you're stopping like every few steps to hit a Pokestop, throw the ball over and over again, and you know, until the fucker runs away or whatever. But if you're doing it this way, then all you have to do, you feel the vibrate, tap, keep walking. Like, you get to do it nonstop. And I think that's where a lot of people will really enjoy this device, is that, yes, you do get credit for the steps and the distance and all that. But remember, your phone does still have to be running the game in the background.
No,
in your pocket.
I've been finding lately that's been kind of funny, and this is just randomly. Like, when I'm playing the game and I go to spin the Pokestops, my avatar will sometimes clip past the camera. Like, okay. I had that happen today on my way here. Like, I had spun one of the Pokestops, or I went into that. And all of a sudden, I see this giant face, like, go by. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, it's my avatar. Because it's just, you know, just moves the camera or something like that, which is silly. But, I don't know. Fun little tweak.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any further, like, questions. Because I see in chat, SJ100Matt says, I'm interested in Rob's thoughts on it, because I don't see the use for it for me, but I could be swayed.
I want to pick one up, but I don't want to, like, fight people for it right now.
Yeah, and don't pay the markup prices.
Oh,
it's
God,
not
no,
worth
why?
It.
No, it's not even worth the $35 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a pretty hefty price. But I kind of also look at it as, well, you know, it's a collectible, that type of thing. So, you know, if you're into that, then cool. But if you're looking for that thing to, like, completely replace Pokemon Go or change your habits completely, I don't think it's going to do that. But I think if you are like, okay, I want, you know I do a lot of walking during the day, or I want to make myself do more walking during the day, and yeah, I might even get a little more incentive to do that if I was catching Pokemon or if I was affecting my game somehow, right? Going back to the opening of the show, some type of digital reward for what I'm doing, right? I want tickets. Then that device is going to help you with that. It's going to help with that incentive. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a button. It doesn't change the game that fundamentally or anything like that. But it is still kind of cool to see that a cell phone, because I can't think of another cell phone game out there that exists with a peripheral like that. Maybe like the Disney Infinity stuff I know exists in the mobile space, but that's really the only other thing I can think of, and that, you know, a lot of those types of games.
Yeah, but those are different. I think those don't even have a thing that you scan. It's basically they take the card. There's a card that comes with them as well that you put the code in, and you just have your characters digitally that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you actually scan anything with it, because that'd be silly.
Yeah.
Maybe you can. I know Skylanders does that. Skylanders actually has a little, like, actual thing that you put on there, and you can do it that way. Why, but they have that available to you. I mean, if that's really what you want to do.
So that's really it for the Pokemon Go. The other game that I was checking out this week, I mean, I've still been playing World of Warcraft a lot, and I hit max level and been playing that. But now I've kind of – and the end game in that game is really interesting, because they took a lot of influence from Diablo 3. For the end game in World of Warcraft, like, you do these things called world quests now that feel a lot like the bounty in Diablo 3. And then even the high level dungeons take a lot of influence from the greater rifts, because you actually get like keystone numbers that make the dungeon harder. So that's kind of interesting to me. But I don't know. You know, I still love Final Fantasy 14. It's an MMO, and I think a break's been good, especially because, you know, I just feel like the content patches for Heaven's Word, they've been good, but they haven't seemed to have the longevity that the Realm Reborn patches had. But they are putting out a new Heavensward patch on Tuesday, and so I've got to check that out. And there sounds like there's some neat things coming out with that, certainly from a story perspective, and some new fights and dungeons and stuff. So I kind of feel like, all right, well, I gotta go. Bye, WoW. It's been fun flirting with you on the side, but I gotta go back to my main game of choice for a little bit. I feel like that's what's gonna happen next week, but we'll see, because I don't think I can juggle two MMOs forever. But at the end of the day, it's also a social thing. And, like, you know, I'm able to play World of Warcraft with the guys from Game Buoy. I play on their server with them. And you know, that's fun to have that social aspect. We ran a 5-man dungeon with some other mutual friends of theirs, and that was a lot of fun. And that's always, I think, where those games shine best, obviously, is a social type of environment. So, yeah, I mean, if that stuff is still going on regularly, it's probably incentive for me to keep WoW around, although paying for 2 MMO subscriptions, I don't know, that's a lot, so we'll see. Although you can pay for your Warcraft subscription with gold now, I just don't make enough of it. But it doesn't seem impossible. It seems like it's an achievable number. So we'll see. We'll see, maybe. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, JD says, my favorite MMO is Guild Wars 2. Yeah, I know a lot of people into that. I bought that when it first came out, but, you know, it's like I didn't have a lot of friends playing Guild Wars 2, and so I would be playing Guild Wars 2 for a little bit, and then, like, you know, later I get a text message, we're going to run a heroic in WoW, because I think I was playing that at the time. Come sign in. So, you know, it's kind of... kind of that's usually what ends up happening in those sorts of things. Lastly, as far as video games go this week, besides any type of regular console things, I've been playing, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I bought Hatsune Miku on PlayStation 4. They released a Hatsune Miku game on PlayStation 4 like 3 weeks ago. I got it delivered with the Pokemon Go Plus accessory when that came out. So I've been playing that on PlayStation 4. And it's... I honestly feel like I'm playing a PlayStation 2 music game on the PlayStation 4, but it's cute. I think I paid $40 for it, though, which is a little... it might be a little much. I think something like 20 or 30 is maybe where this game kind of belongs. And it really kind of forces you to play every song as you kind of unlock through the universe. And there's this really cheesy story that goes with it. But, like... as long as you're cool with, like, how ultra cheesy it is. I mean, even if I just say Hatsune Miku, I think that invokes some type of response within you. And some people are going to be like, yes. And some people are going to be like, no. No, thank you. Not ever. Not now. So I kind of think you already know where you stand on this game. But some of the music's really cute. I kind of think the music in the PlayStation 3 one that I had was better. But I like this one fine. There are still some good songs in it. And I guess it does the whole cross-save thing with the Vita version, which I guess is pretty much the same game. I don't have that Vita version, so I don't know. But I think it's that on the PlayStation 4, which might also explains why it doesn't feel as... full as a PlayStation 4 game usually does, probably because it started as a handheld game that they've kind of put on the PlayStation 4. But if you like music games and all that stuff, you'll probably see something in this that you like. You know, it's fun to just play it here and there, but I don't think it's something I'm going to get, like, obsessed with, if that makes sense. So, and even Act Deft in chat says the previous Project Diva are better. And yeah, Project Diva X is the one I've been playing. I knew it was Project Diva something. I didn't remember it was as simple as X, but that sounds right. But yeah, I think the one I was playing on PlayStation 3 had a better song list, and it was like all open from the beginning and all that stuff. So, you know, but it's all right. It's fun. It's cute. Anyway, that's it for our gaming weeks. So before we get to the news tonight, I just want to quickly one more time plug that we will actually not be here next week. There is no live Orange Lounge Radio next week because I will still be in Santa Clara at Gamer X4, which wraps up on Sunday. We actually have a panel at 2:00. So even if I were to magically be able to get in the car and hit the gas at 3:00, considering that there is a freaking football game at the stadium across the street where the Niners now play that day, I'm like, I'm fucked. I'm not getting home till midnight on Sunday.
Are you saying that you're not ready for football?
No, I'm not ready for football. Not that. Why is it? Why does it have to be on the same day? Anyway, but whatever. Since you're not going to be moving in traffic anyway, why leave Gamer X early? Why not enjoy to the very end and come see our panel at 2:00? I think the whole thing wraps up around 5.
That is prime Pokemon egg hatching speed right there, I'm telling you.
Maybe I'll bring my accessory just in case. That sounds like a fantastic idea, Logie.
Because then it's like you could hatch like 4 or 5 eggs just on the way back.
I'm going to be doing a panel with Dark Sakura and Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org, and who knows who else we might just pull into that. We're going to be doing the Indie Gamer Podcast Super Show. It's going to be sort of like half in podcast fan club type of stuff, because not like the shows, but like, you should do a podcast and we want to empower you to do a podcast and look how fun it is to do a podcast. So it's kind of like half that, but half like, okay, we did these awesome panels at the first few shows that were podcast Cross Zone, Cross Zone 2, Cross Zone 3, and those were a lot of fun, but then we kind of realized like, we've never actually done a podcast. So we thought we'd kind of do half that and half sort of like a blend of a little bit of what we do here on OLR, a little bit of what they do on Game Buoy, and kind of actually talk about some of the news in gaming that week. Because while there are a lot of amazing panels at GamerX4, I'm not sure there's any that are dedicated to actual ongoing current events. Like in the gaming fandom, obviously there's things in gaming culture that the panels address, but I'm not sure there's anything that talks about like, there was big news this week. Watch the NX gets revealed this week. We'll be able to talk about it at that panel. So
you're like, laughing. No!
I know, right? The 1 week we're gone. Watch. That's what's going to fucking happen. Nintendo comes out tomorrow and says NX reveal on Wednesday, and it's going to be like, son of a beep, bleep, bleep. But I'll tell you what. I'll promise you this. I leave for GamerX on Thursday night. So if by some act of grace, Nintendo makes a huge announcement before Wednesday night, I will make Loki get on Skype with me for 30 minutes. Dark Sakura, too, if she's available. And we'll do a reaction podcast. We'll do a special one-off episode. But if it happens after Thursday, I can't do it because I'm on the road. So we'll see. Although, I guess I could tape something at GamerX. But then Loki wouldn't be there. And I know how it is. Jamie knows how it is. Loki is the one you most want to know his reaction to the NX.
Oh, so I'm so enthusiastic, especially after all the rumors and everything. I mean, I can't wait to get into it. It's just, it sounds so needlessly complicated.
Okay, Bobby is making an offer. We might take him up on this. Bobby says, I can call you guys on Skype and host OLR from Atlanta. All right, so deal. If the NX is revealed this week and we can't do something in advance, so if it's revealed Thursday or Friday, Jamie and I will call from the car. Loki will call from home or wherever he's at. Bobby will hook it together, and we will do a special WTF OLR NX edition, but only if the NX is revealed this week. Sound good?
It's got to be revealed by the end of the next month, because they have they have their next investor. I actually was watching some stuff about this. They have their next investors meeting or whatever at the end of October. And so it's got to be released by then. The one of the theories was New York Comic Con's right around the corner, and that they may try to do something at Nintendo World, store.
Okay. All right,
like a pre-event or something like that.
It feels like
reaching. I think we're just stretching at this point. We're just grabbing for, well, maybe it's this.
I think the announcement is going to be the inevitable delay, but that's...
I'm with you there. I think that's
what's going to happen. We talked about that last week. I don't need to redo it. But that I'm preparing myself for that announcement. That's what I'm preparing. If I'm pleasantly surprised and we do end up having to do a Bobby Black Wolf on the road, Loki at home edition of OLR, then so be it. That's great, but I'm preparing myself for the inevitable. We've decided to push it back to holiday 2017, and we look forward to showing it to you at E3 2017. I'm just preparing myself for that.
Whatever, you know what? That's
set the bar.
That's
low.
About the equal. That's about an equal amount of underwhelmment that I'm going to have versus, you know, an actual announcement. Anyways,
All right. Anyway, so no show next week unless the NX gets announced. Otherwise, no show, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Unless you want to see us live, if you actually happen to be at GamerX. Let's get into some gaming news this week. We got a lot of ground to cover. Loki.
So Blizzard announced that they're going to be phasing out the name Battle.net. They're going to be changing it to something else because that's what they've been doing with their products, naming them Blizzard this, Blizzard that. So Blizzard.net?
Blizzard Launcher. I think
Blizzard
is what they've
launcher.
Already...
Wow, that sounds so much cooler than Battle.net.
Or Blizzard Network. That icon that you use to launch all the games from, I think it's called Battle.net right now. They will change that inevitably to this Blizzard Launcher, I think will be the name of that thing.
That sounds so...
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to launch Battle.net or Blizzard Launcher.
It's interesting. There's a lot of pushback to this change going on in the community because, you know, even though I don't host Horde House anymore, I made a lot of friends in the Blizzard community from those days. And so I still follow on Twitter, and there's a lot of pushback going on out there. And I'm kind of one of them. Like, this is a really, I'm not sure the strategy behind this. I've just always thought of Battle.net as another Blizzard product, just as I considered Diablo a product? Like, are you going to change the name of World of Warcraft to Blizzard MMO? Are you going to change the name of Heroes of the Storm to Blizzard MOBA? What is this, Spaceballs? Blizzard the movie.
Blizzard. We already have that.
Blizzard the planet. Blizzard the this and that. Like, is this Blizzard the t-shirt? Like, is that what it's going to turn into? I think not. So I just don't understand why Battle.net is such a negative thing. I mean, I guess maybe it's not something that's super marketable, but what is in that department? And I think Battle.net is just a really cool way to kind of tie that to the retro stuff that I remember when I first got into Blizzard products when I was playing Diablo 2, or I'm sure for many of you, Warcraft 3, that whole thing. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo says, I won't miss Battle.net. Fuck them. Well, I guess some folks will not miss it. Dungeon Buster in chat says, it's so weird that the Battle.net name is going away. Maybe they felt that in today's climate, it's too confrontational. That can't be it. What are they going to do? Patch it out of Diablo 2? Because isn't the name Battle.net in Diablo 2? Are they going to patch it out of Diablo 2? Which I think they're still selling, right? Diablo 2 is still something you can buy, like, at a store. Like, the big box and all that stuff. Like, that game is, like, the longest-running game probably ever, you know, of sorts. So, but unless you count the millions of times they've re-released Pac-Man. I just don't see... Then again, they patched Diablo 2 as recently as, what, last year? So, it's not out of the question, but it just seems a little silly. Oh, let's see. Raginator says Blizzard Launcher sounds like a great gun for a sci-fi fantasy first-person shooter. A gun that shoots out blizzards like a grenade launcher. Is that May's weapon in Overwatch? No, close.
That's more of a DQ thing.
Let's see. And Raginator says I bought Diablo 2 in October 2012 as my first PC game. Bought it from Target. I bought Diablo 2 as one of my first PC games, too, but that was like 99, 2000.
When, I never bought Diablo.
I think the original Diablo I'm thinking of. I don't think Diablo 2 is that old.
I never bought Diablo or Diablo 2, but I did play the demo or shareware or whatever version of Diablo that they had that came with PC Gamer, because PC Gamer used to have all those cool, like, you know, demo discs and everything.
Oh, yeah, like the old PlayStation Magazine had all the demos. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Good time. I played that first stage of Parappa the Rappa on the demo disc to death. And I had that song memorized. That's why I still love it today, I think. Anyway, moving on, let's talk about Steam. And this is going to, some people are going to raise their eyebrows at this headline. Super Mario Brothers 3 is now available on Steam. Hold on, it's not what you think. That was my clickbaity phrase. Here's what it really is. It's the adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3. It's not a game. It's actually a TV cartoon. This was kind of the spiritual successor, I guess, to the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. It didn't run for very long. It was 13 episodes long, but it was a cartoon series. It did not have the Captain Lou cutaways or any of that stuff. It was just 100% cartoon. I think they would air it with Captain N. It was on around the same time. So it was like Captain N, and then you'd have the Super Mario Brothers 3 adventures. So you can get those episodes now on Steam, because remember, Steam has been getting into video recently. So this is a logical thing for them to get into. And although you might want to put on your tinfoil hats and go, OMG, Nintendo is testing the waters with Steam. Nah. OMG. No. Hold up. The rights to this show are with Cookie Jar, which is the company that actually put all this together. So this was one of those rare cases, because that was back in the day when Nintendo was still willing to do that stuff because the movie hadn't happened yet. So technically, this was not a Nintendo decision to do, but certainly something where it's the right audience to put this in front of. I'm sure there will be people that want to check that out. So there you go. The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3 on Steam. Is that on Netflix? Because they had the Mario Brothers Super Show for a while on Netflix, didn't they? So you would think that maybe...
They used to have like the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff and the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and it's probably on there. I don't know. I haven't looked, so who knows?
All right. What's up? Orange Wright says, wow, they even have the Milli Vanilli episode. That was, I don't even remember that being a thing. I'm going to be honest. I remember the Super Mario Brothers Super Show for sure. And I remember there was a Mario Brothers 3 cartoon. And so maybe I saw an episode, but I don't think it was around very long. And I just don't think I saw more of it than that. So
yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah,
it all kind of blends together.
All right, anyway.
All right, so there's some more NX rumors.
Oh, joy. Our favorite part of every episode of Orange Lounge
Radio. This apparently is coming from, I want to say, some Foxconn employee that I guess in the past, and I'm not sure about the past on this, he had sketched pictures of like some of the other consoles that were coming out. So like he had basically there, he saw what the consoles look like, and he's kind of described what it looks like. Take this with a grain of salt, but apparently, I don't know, I guess he was reliable in the past, so that's why people are paying attention to this, so we'll see.
All right, normally I would kind of take a big deep sigh at this, but this seems something like with everything we've heard until now, this seems really plausible to me. But again, like everything with NX, I'm taking it with a big grain of salt, and I'm not setting my expectations.
Right. So the NX, what they describe is basically three pieces. It's, you know, it's a home console, and it's also like a portable or a hybrid type device. It includes basically the console, which is like, think of it like a dock for the actual controller thing. The dock thing contains basically a hard drive, the cartridge slot, and other interfaces. They say it also supports, you know, TV output. But there's no GPU or CPU built into it. There's this separate device that looks like the size of a power brick that's called a performance module. And it's a device that provides the power supply. It has a power supply and contains like a separate battery and also a GPU CPU inside of it. It supports Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and other wired connections. You plug the dock inside and it becomes the console thing. And then also you can take it with you as sort of, I don't know, it's really confusing. So they say basically the screen looks similar to like a Wii U, you know, tablet thing. So the 6-inch 720p screen, they're saying that basically if you use it by itself, it can do like basic operations with lower graphics quality. But when the performance module's attached to it, it has higher performance graphics and they say console level graphics. They're comparing to like the NVIDIA Shield, and this is you can bring the performance module with you, portable since it has its own battery. So it just sounds weird. So basically, in a nutshell, they said it's a 2-in-1 portable, 3 parts dock, built-in hard drive, all that stuff, the handheld and everything. Less powerful than the PlayStation 4, obviously, and they're thinking it's going to be revealed in October. And yeah, I don't know. Weird.
It sounds weird, and that's almost kind of why I'm like, I feel like this, you know, again, I'm not going to set my expectations. As long as the games are good, this stuff is sort of inconsequential. But you know, we've heard obviously these rumors about the whole fact it's a console, it's a handheld, and this whole back and forth has been going on for a very long time. But yet, whenever we see kind of the feedback and what other people are saying about it, it's kind of like you get that impression like, no, they've done something more. Like it's not just like a Wii U like that. And so this power brick that you're talking about, which to me sounds an awful lot like when I go to an all-day Ingress event, and I have to take one of those bricks to charge my phone, like, you know, those big cell phone battery bricks. It sounds like one of those. So it's like, okay, well, you could have a handheld that just is, it's kind of like having a DS or whatever, 2DS or something like that. No big deal, right? But if you wanted to, you could soup it up with this small brick. Nintendo, what they've done with this is that they've scaled it down. The power of a console, they've scaled down to such this small size.
The size of a Nuya.
Well, essentially, that you could take that with you as well. And so this way you could get console style gaming on the go. And I think a big part of that selling point is going to be that you could get a fighting game like Smash Brothers set up, like, you know, really easily. And I'm assuming this little power device or whatever it is probably has some type of HDMI output on it. So it is really, really easy to set up this thing as a console anywhere. And it's interesting. But again, you know, because this is a rumor, because it's, you know, a sketch of some, I'm kind of going, but if this isn't it, no big deal. You know, it's kind of like one of those, I'm prepared to be disappointed, but this makes sense with what's out there right now.
So basically, kind of what I'm seeing, like,
Nintendo's taking that power and made it the size of a cell phone.
So they have, like, this dock that you'd basically leave on your TV, and then they have, like, the guts of the console as its own separate thing, and then they have, you know, the tablet, which is basically your second screen or your Wii U-type gamepad.
I think the dock, this is just, you know, again, just, you know, Miss Cleo is as accurate as I am here. This dock is probably, it's like a charging station type of thing, and it's like, it's a nice, cute little place to store it.
They said, though, that it has, like, a hard drive and all that stuff, and so it has your hard drive and has, like, your cartridge slot in there. It just sounds very confusing.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know how that would work if that was on the base. If it's in the brick, I get that. But
yeah,
I don't understand that in the base.
But then what would be the point even of that? I mean, I guess other than charging your controller, but it just, I don't know. Let's assume that it was this. It was so hard to describe what the Wii U was with. Basically, it's just a system with a controller with a screen. How the fuck do you describe this to a consumer? They're not going to know what the fuck it is.
The difference is they're not going to sell it as the portable thing as a part of the game experience. They're going to sell it as, again, I shouldn't say they're going to, you know, if this was true, they would likely, use this as part of, like, the marketing would be the fact that you have this power of a console on the go. And I think it's going to be very much about teaming up with your friends easily and kind of a lot of what they do with the DS, but just the fact that it's going to be, like, the most powerful handheld and it turns into a full on console gaming experience like that. And I think the thing with the Wii U is that they never really got people to buy that for, here's how the technology makes the game better. Here's how the detachable gamepad makes the game better. There never was really the must-have games.
Now, here's something, though. This would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. What if they had GPS built into the console? Like that little brick thing.
Oh, why not?
So, like, you're bringing
it. All that shit is in my phone, which is 2-year-old technology at this point, iPhone 7 or and the equivalent Note 7 or, you know, the kind that doesn't explode, is, you know, it's a very powerful little computer in your pocket. So I absolutely believe they can get something. I mean, if you put stack 4 of these iPhone pluses together, that's the power brick. And that's the type of technology that could be in it, right? Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
I don't know. It makes a lot of sense to me, but Nintendo,
I don't want to run with this too much because, again, rumor, blah, blah, blah. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, this, you know, if it is something somebody made up, that's a pretty clever little twist on what's out there that kind of matches with everything out there, if that makes sense. So if it's fanfic, good job on your fanfic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. On top of that, apparently someone that did actually see the device, obviously, would it be the head of Ubisoft, basically, you know, speaking to, I guess, IGN, said, you know, I think once again, the interface is very attractive. It's a machine that will be easy to use for all gamers. They have built something that will give us a chance to really have a different experience from what exists today. What I like is that they come up with something that's adapted to what we actually want now.
Doesn't that comment line up perfectly with that speculation, though?
I mean, I really want to be, you know, surprised and have this be something really cool. I don't want them to, like, fail, but then again, they thought that, like, the second screen thing with the Wii U was going to be, like, a big fucking deal, and it was all right. It's nice. It is nice having that second screen thing because, like, my son can now, I can put the Wii U in the room, and he can play on that screen, and he doesn't need a TV set up there. It's just very minimal. I mean, that's nice. But aside from that, it's like, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, this is so revolutionary. It just wasn't. So I'm hoping that it's like, this is like the Wii, where it's like, man, that's something no one's ever done. That's really cool. Versus like, we think this is something that no one's ever done and that they're going to be really cool, but it's just not. It's something that's common.
It's ultimately up to the games. It's just that simple. You know, the problem, here it is, right here. Nintendo Land was not Wii Sports. End of story. So if the NX or whatever it ends up being called has its Wii Sports, we're good. It's all about that game. Games, really. You know, because, you know, the Wii also had, you know, Zelda and, you know, some other really cool stuff that it launched with. And the Wii U's launch lineup was all rehashes from the year before. So, you know, I think if it's true that they've delayed NX to get that more powerful launch lineup,
but
that's going to be so important.
And here's the thing, though, I'm a little worried about, though, is that they're mentioning that the console, I understand that it doesn't have to be on par with the other consoles, but I'm worried we're going to have a problem all over again with third-party support. Yeah, I know the Wii U didn't have that, but great, they have first-party games coming out, but there's not... You're going to have two consoles, and striving to be number two is kind of dumb.
I'm with you, and I'm not, because this could be Nintendo saying they're not focusing on a living room console. I mean, yes, it will play in your living room, but this experience is portable, and the only people they compete with in that space is the phones, which is really weird that they're making phone games, but I guess... You know, Nintendo could ultimately try to say, like, you know, your phone can only do so much. Your phone doesn't have a controller. Your phone, they're going to show experiences you can't get on your phone.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the key part.
I'm surprised we still haven't gotten some sort of standardized controller for phones yet, but I don't know. Think about it. It's just like, hey, yeah, we can't compete with consoles, so we're not going out. We're just going to compete with the...
Well, Nintendo's not going to say we're not going to compete with consoles. Nintendo's always been the whole, like, well, we're going to just do something different. Ever since the Wii, they're just like, we're just going to do something different. Like, Sony, Microsoft, they can fight in their space. We're going to do something different. That's been their MO since the GameCube did not turn into the PlayStation 2.
But sometimes people don't want different. And, mm-hmm. I mean... It's nice that different is good and it's some innovative thing that people are actually looking for, but don't just be different just to be different.
All right, let's get to some comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. First off, we have SHO100 Matt who says, serious question, for this to be worth it for consumers, do you think it needs to be $400 and or under to survive in the market? Honestly, I'm not sure. This could really go anywhere, but with the type of technology Loki describes... I actually think part of their trick might be to release something that's going to be cheap. I'm talking like the price of a 3DS or something like $200. Or, you know, maybe they're going to piecemeal it. Maybe the little handheld thing works on its own.
And they can go fuck themselves if that's how they're going to fucking do that.
I don't know. You know, again, that is rampant.
No, I mean, seriously. Like,
awful speculation.
If that's the shit they're going to pull where it's like, hey, well, you get the charge base and the controller, but the performance unit or wherever, that's going to be a separate fucking $200 or something. No, fuck that shit.
I think Nintendo will not go as high as that. They may. And again, it's about the games. If they can put the games out to justify that price, then okay. But I don't think Nintendo will go that high. I really don't. You know, Wii U is $250, right? That's the highest they've ever gone.
It's still fucking expensive. It's too expensive. It's at the end of its life cycle, basically. And I mean, I don't know. I hope they don't delay it because that's going to be really awkward. You know, a whole like long time before some actual Nintendo games come out.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, maybe Nintendo could do a new AR game similar to Pokemon Go on what Loki was saying about the GPS. Why wouldn't they just put Pokemon Go on that thing? If the DS thing has GPS technology. Now, where that gets dicey is, do you have to have like cellular service for that to work?
Yeah, you would need cellular service.
And that, I don't know. But maybe they... Wasn't there like an old rumor that, you know, and again, rumor is rumor, but wasn't there like a really old rumor that these things would connect with the PlayStation 4? Like, wasn't that a thing like a while ago? Like that some wank that somebody written somewhere that this actually, maybe the device. Huh? Yeah. Like, no.
No.
Like, no. Like,
I don't
dang
remember
it.
That at all.
I could swear that was something like a wank thing that had come up in a previous week and we all kind of wrote it off as LOL. But maybe like the Pokemon Go Plus thing talks to my phone. Maybe this NX thing will, or the brick or something, pairs with your phone.
Well, yeah, you can.
To get that.
You can, well, I'm okay. But why would I do that at that point? I would just say, yes, I'm carrying like this giant I'm carrying this stupid power brick. I'm carrying this giant screen and my fucking phone to play Pokemon Go. That's on my phone. This sounds like a perfect solution to my problem that I don't have because I can play on my phone. That No, it's a terrible idea.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, tether the NX to your phone via Bluetooth. Let's start that rumor. You can tether the NX to your phone's GPS and 4G. It sounds plausible. Sounds good. Go to NeoGAF. Go ride it.
To the GAF.
Confirmed. Just kidding. It's fun to dream and speculate, but at the end of the day, just announce.
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Tell us what it is already so
listen,
we just stop.
It's the recipe for success is already there. We just completely missed it. Listen, three components. Half-Life 3, confirmed.
Stop it. Somebody in chat said that too. All right, let's move on. Well, speaking of Pokemon, you know, you can play Pokemon Go on this device possibly, but there's something else Pokemon that will be coming to the NX, and that's not a rumor, that's confirmed. The Pokemon Company has confirmed they are developing games for Nintendo's next generation platform, of course, this whatever it is, the NX, whatever it is. And this was in an interview with the Wall Street Journal where the chief executive of the Pokemon Company actually mentioned. Pokemon Company's chief executive said Tuesday his company's plans to create game for Nintendo's next generation system, which people familiar with the plan say is likely to meld features of traditional consoles and handheld devices. Here's the quote. The NX is trying to change the concept of what it means to be a home console device or a handheld device. And that's all from that Pokemon Company interview. And so, yes, Pokemon will be on this device. But will it be a mainline game? Will they do a special version of Sun and Moon? Will 8th Gen be on the NX? Will a remake of the original 151, which Shane will hate, but would that be on the NX? Or will they do something different? I mean, certainly, what? It could be Stadium, it could be Snap, it could be Mystery Dungeon, it could be one of the 11 billion spinoff franchises there are for Pokemon, but something by the Pokemon Company will be on this NX device. And so, you know, if it is a mainline Pokemon game, be that a port of Sun or Moon, or you know, sometimes you know how like they sometimes do like what there was Red, Blue, and then Yellow, you know, and that whole thing. Like there's the later game. Maybe they do like a Sun, a Moon, and then Dusk or something like that.
Oh no, Sun, Moon, and Eclipse, of course.
Okay, all right, or that or whatever. So there's some other type of game like that that comes out for the like the NX. But again, that part is speculation. But it would be very interesting because that means you would be able to play a mainline Pokemon game on your television, not through some type of emulation or Super Game Boy Advance or GameCube, something like that. That means, you know, that would be an experience that's essentially designed with the television in mind as well as handheld. That could be very interesting. And something I'd be very excited about, but we'll see. We'll see. Who knows if it'll be revealed as early as when they announce the NX as possible launch title. I suppose anything's possible. So, yeah. Raginator in chat says, don't you mean, aw, Snap? Snap 2 would be awesome. Yeah, Snap 2 would be awesome, but they are putting Snap-esque type of features in the upcoming Sun and Moon. That was something that they revealed. So I kind of think they're just trying to put that there to appease the fan mail and tweets I'm sure they get saying, bring back Snap. That's what they're doing is incorporating it into Gen 7. Anyway, Loki.
So the fan game Pokemon Uranium is ceasing development. They're going to be pulling down their download links and all that stuff. Basically just saying, you know, unfortunately, as Pokemon Uranium is a fan game, there's a limit to how far projects such as these can go. And we are therefore ceasing development on this project. As such, we, the creators of the game, will no longer be offering game downloads, updates, online services, or support for Pokemon Uranium. Well, that and also they got a C&D a while back, so that's probably a little bit to have to do with it. But I'm sure if you want to play it, it's available online somewhere. So go find it.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, just make a similar game without the Pokemon IP. If you don't think that can work, Undertale says hi. So you could do your own type of pocket monster game, except you have to call it something different. Like Little Monster, Litmon, Get Lit.
Get Lit.
Little Monsters.
Get Litmon.
Get Lit. That would actually work with Uranium, too, because it's radioactive. Litmon. I like that.
Vapemon.
It's the game that all the hipsters play. I love it. Let's see. Rama in chat says, Chibi Monsters, Chibi Mom. Raginator says, you are Mon. That's, I think usually that phrase is you're a mom, not you're Mon. Anyway. So speaking of Loki going, the Wii U is too expensive, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, something's happening over in Europe where Wii U's are no longer going to be available after October 1st. Note, that is for the retailers to order. That does not mean Wii U's are suddenly going to disappear from store shelves starting on October 1st. Apparently, what's happening in the article that was published by GameSeek, retailers in the UK are being asked to put their final orders in for the Wii U. Nintendo is now taking final orders on Wii U consoles. Those that haven't ordered by the end of September 30th will not be able to order the Wii U again from Nintendo. So,
well, no. That's a good sign. Hopefully that means that the console's still coming out on time. But then again, fuck-ups do happen, so...
You know, and again, they're still going to have the inventory on hand to sell off if you're like, oh, no, I'm not going to get a Wii U this holiday. I think Nintendo kind of knows the demand for Wii U is going to be low.
I just, honestly, if you haven't picked one up by now, just hold off.
But it's weird that they haven't pulled the plug with the Zelda game coming out. You know, unless it is for sure happening where NX is coming out the same
time.
It'll
be the Twilight, was it Twilight Princess? You'll be the Twilight Princess of the console.
Oh, where the GameCube one gets ignored pretty much. Even though some,
no, I'm just saying where it's like basically the last game to come out for the console.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's,
I gotcha.
So,
we'll see. I mean, again, you know, I wouldn't read too much into that. It's nothing that we kind of don't already know. The only thing about that is that it would seem to confirm there is no delay. And it could mean that Nintendo is going to announce something around October 1st, which would be next week, in order to, you know, because once they kind of make that announcement, then they really know that a lot of people are going to start thinking like you, where it's like, well, why do I need a Wii U? Because I want this thing, especially if this new thing plays Wii U games, which may be the base. Here's more fan wank. Maybe the base has a disc reader on it or something. You could play the Wii U games. That's all digital. I'm sure it's all digital.
It's all digital. But hey, it would be nice if, like, you know, since I do buy mostly digital games now, if I could port over my digital games to that. Of course, you know, most of these, you know, companies, Nintendo included, well, we have no way of talking to get... Our one database over here can't talk to the other database, so you gotta buy those fucking Wii U or those virtual console titles for a fourth fucking time, or... whatever the case may be.
Well, the Nintendo Network, though, has brought all that together, and that's when...
Has it?
Well, but that's when the NX was first revealed in the first place, was that they were talking about an ecosystem that would bring all that together.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I'm done with the NX wank. Next story.
I'll believe it when I see it, that's
until,
for sure.
Until 2 weeks. 2 week break from NX wank.
So if only I had this, you know, option, you know, several... Was it months now? Several months ago when I actually purchased... a controller, a Bluetooth controller for my Samsung Gear VR. Well, now Microsoft announced that it would be expanding its support for the Xbox One controller to the Gear VR. So you can actually use that in Minecraft Gear VR Edition if you want. You know, their controllers are nice, so I would definitely consider that if I hadn't already bought one.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, don't you already have a Gear VR?
I already have a Gear VR that I don't play very often, so...
Well, maybe it's time to dust it off.
Yeah.
All right, we're about to get to the classic game of the week, but I'm going to do one more story here, and I don't want to talk about it, but because it gets into politics.
That's why I didn't put in...
But here's the thing. We have an email on it later. B, I could kind of go, this has nothing to do with gaming, but when you've got developers talking about that they're not going to make games and all stuff.
And no one cares.
Here's the thing. I'm going to just mention it for the sake of mentioning it, because it is something that's out there in gaming culture, but I just don't want to argue tonight. Wasn't the NX wank enough? I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me tonight. Here's the thing, all right? I'm sure you've all seen this going on social media, and there's a lot of controversy around Palmer Luckey, who's one of the Oculus co-founders, and it came to light that there was some controversial political giving going on, and that allegedly Palmer Luckey was giving some money to this organization that makes what they make, like, memes that are really, but they have some Reddit, and it's a lot of, like, here's the thing. One side, the side that kind of exposed all this, said this is the shady side of the internet. This is where they do a lot of these dumpy memes. This is where a lot of this gets into the really gross stuff.
They're manufacturing
and the bullying on
dank
the internet.
Memes over there.
It's the dank meme factory and all that. And this is all going on over here. And but then, you know, to be fair, Palmer, and I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop when this information came out. I said, all right, well, the guy's going to make a statement in 3, 2, 1. And sure enough, Palmer Luckey came out and actually made a statement that he had given $10,000 to Nimble America, which was the organization. Yes, he did give the $10,000 to that. But he was not pro-Trump. He was actually voting for the Libertarian candidate. He's voting for Gary Johnson. And he was under the impression that this organization was to energize the youth vote, basically, that it was to try to get more younger people to vote. I guess by getting on the cool and hip Reddits. You can just imagine how that boardroom presentation went or whatever. So he thought he was giving money to the youth vote, this $10,000. He doesn't plan to donate again. But a lot of people have said, oh, fuck this, because, and even for me, I'm like, I don't really give a shit if he's voting for Trump. I mean, I kind of look at that and go, girl, but the part of this country is you have the freedom to vote for whoever you want. That's why you vote, right? So I'm not going to be all like, oh, well, shit, we got to just fucking boycott the entire Oculus company because one dude plans to vote for Trump. I understand why people might kind of like be really angry, because this is an election that's stirring a lot of feelings, and it's really getting gross. Like, it's just, I can't wait for this shit to be over. Like, I just, but then it's like, well, then in 4 more years we'll fucking go through it again. But it's just like, it's just especially ugly this year, right? This whole thing. But here's the thing, and this is what didn't sit right with me when all this news came out. Because the news comes out, and you've got these developers saying, oh, I'm going to pull support from Oculus. We're not going to make our game for Oculus anymore unless this guy gets fired, and da-da-da-da-da, and all this stuff.
It's like, you don't even have, like, all the full information. You're already jumping to that.
And honestly, and this might surprise some of you, because, yes, I do tend to be very liberal. I don't support people that don't support LGBT rights, period. I don't support bullying online and all that stuff, period. But with that kind of also goes the fact that, well, wait a minute, because I was looking at that going, well, hold on. Does this guy, and I could be wrong on this, does this guy still make money from Oculus currently? Didn't all his money come from the sale from Facebook? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If by that logic, if you're going to get rid of your Oculus Rift, delete your Facebook account. Facebook's the one that gave him the money, right? So the other thing is that Oculus has obviously thousands of employees, and I don't think all of them feel this way. And I think there's a lot that recognize this organization is shady and has people with ties to shady things, and we don't want to support them type of thing. And at the same time that this is all going on, I was looking at, because Vogue Network is sponsoring GamerX this coming weekend, I was looking at who's sponsoring the upcoming convention. Oculus is a sponsor of GamerX. So I kind of look at it, which obviously GamerX and that organization is not going to tolerate this type of bullshit. That's like what it's – a lot of what it's against, right? So it's like – the Oculus founder took the money, ran off, and did this one donation, and, you know, you can do what you want with your money in America and that whole type of thing. I'm not sure I'm okay faulting the entire company, Oculus, for that, when at the same time, what the company is doing by sponsoring something like GamerX says that they want to support diversity.
I have
they
a hard time believing it's
that
like,
whole thing.
Like, you know, that he was being malicious about it. Like, oh, I hate all those gays. Let's make some anti-gay memes or, you know, anti-Hillary memes or whatever. I just don't think that
was... Well,
and
that's not the libertarian perspective anyway. The libertarian perspective is marijuana. No, I'm kidding. Don't send the angry emails.
Hey, but get out and vote because that is on the ballot this year.
But you know, it's just... That's kind of not part of that viewpoint anyway. But it's just... I don't know. Like, I wasn't quite ready to say... And I have boycotted organizations before. I was not comfortable when Chick-fil-A was sending all that money to anti-GLBT organizations. Now, it caused a really interesting sort of twist because here locally, we had a local franchise owner that was actually donating to pro-LGBT organizations to offset what the corporate was doing, basically. And so it's kind of one of those moral quandaries like, okay, so can I eat this chicken sandwich? You know, so I ate the damn sandwich because,
exactly.
You know what? If I were to boycott every single stinking thing that was related to somebody who had this really gross opinion somewhere in the line, I think I'd be boycotting a lot more than I probably currently am.
Besides, we all use like cable companies and internet and all that stuff like that. And most of those are paying, you know, lining the pockets of people in the government that are making bad decisions to further screw us. So are you going to boycott internet too?
However, I want to make this very clear because I don't want to make it sound like I'm 100% supportive of this guy either, because I'm not. But I don't want necessarily all the other 1,900 people or whoever are working at Oculus to have to suffer, especially when the company is kind of putting out this conflicting message. But I just want to make very clear, I don't support online bullying and all that crap whatsoever. And, you know, that shit needs to stop. Twitter needs to step up and do more. If they can put fucking read receipts on direct messages, they can hold accounts more accountable for some of the shit that they put out there. And so I understand if people want to sever ties with anybody that would associate themselves with that dark underbelly of the internet, I understand that. So I want to make that very, 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 very clear. But for me, it's kind of one of those, well, wait a minute. I wasn't ready to throw that all out just yet because I felt like the facts are not all in place, and now it's really muddied. But it's going to be really interesting because Oculus going to have this booth at GamerX in 4 days, and so there's going to be a lot of people there who have been targets sometimes of some of this bullying and all that stuff. And so Oculus in some way is going to have something to answer to. So it's a really awkward position. So this whole thing is awkward, and it's why I didn't want to talk about it in the first place, but people are threatening
awkward.
To stop making games. It is awkward.
It's
this
awkward.
Whole thing is awkward.
Awkward like having a console that's comprised of three different parts that are both independent from each other.
Oh, God. I admit I did not look at chat throughout that whole thing because if I did, I would keep getting sidetracked.
Don't you know you never read chat? Never read the comments.
No, here at VOG, it's okay. I can look at the chat. So I'm trying to scan through and look at some of the comments here in chat. So let's see. Legend of Zaku in chat says, the fact that Oculus is sponsoring GamerX will make for some interesting reactions. I wouldn't be surprised if folks protest their booth. I hope not. Like, let's have a conversation. I mean, the guy did apologize. I understand that people are reading into that and saying, well, there might be some untruths in the apology and all that. But I feel like, okay, we're at least trying to get to the bottom of this. Can we all agree that we need to stop bullying each other online? Can we start there? Because maybe if we can, then maybe we can avoid a lot
also,
of that stuff.
Who cares? Like, I don't care. I really don't care. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Does this affect the Oculus in any way? No. Does it make it any better? No. Probably get a Vive anyways. Does this mean the controllers are coming out anytime sooner? No. So I don't care.
The Vive has some better games on it right now anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the other reality is it's like if I'm going to say I'm not going to buy an Oculus, I have a perfectly other reason
exactly.
for saying that.
And,
is that, well, the Vive is the gaming
Are you
thing.
Getting into like who's going to actually not be supporting you because of the drama? Or are you going to be doing that? Or
I don't have a list. I know there's been several,
okay.
but I don't
One
have
One of them
list.
Was Polytron, okay? I would just Phil Fish. Don't fucking care. I mean, seriously, just don't. And basically, you're saying they're dropping the Oculus support because of this. No, I think you were just dropping it because more people probably have a Vive right now, to be honest.
Let's see. Trying to scan into some other comments. Bobby Blackwolf says Oculus came out in a statement that he was doing this with his personal money and was not doing it on behalf of his employer. I don't know if I should tell this on air, but I guess I'm going to now. Do you remember when Prop 8 was a thing? And obviously, because that was the whole banning gay marriage thing, obviously I was very, very against that, but it passed right anyway. But the public perception has changed since then. Do you know that they made the donor list like public? Like you could find out like who had donated it to it. Mm-hmm. And with it, you could, they'd have to put their list place of work. So, you know, I scanned that list and I found coworkers on that list. And so it, and I shouldn't have done it. I really shouldn't have done it. And I never, they weren't people that I like work with frequently or anything like that, but they were just like names I recognized, just like, you know, high up people in other departments and stuff like that. But like, was I going to sabotage my own company because people associated with my company had donated money towards this horrific cause? And it's like, no, I kind of can't do that because this is the company that, you know, I'm very happy with, right? And all that stuff. So no, I can't do that. And honestly, I could probably look up any company in the Fortune 500s, that list of the biggest companies, right? Yeah. I could look up any company in that list, and somebody from that company probably donated to Prop 8. So I think it just goes to show maybe what we just need more of is maybe education. I don't know. Maybe we need to educate before we boycott. If education falls on deaf ears, then we boycott, that whole type of thing. I don't know. But that's just where my head's at with all this stuff. Okay, we got through it. Yay. Let's go back. Let's go to a time when things were simpler. You know what? We're gonna take a step back into a more classic time. We're gonna go back to when you didn't know the political leanings of individuals because you were getting fed information once a month in a magazine.
There was no fucking internet.
That's right. There was no internet. So let's go back to a simpler time with a segment we like to call the classic game of the week. And thanks to the magic of the interwebs, radio interwebs, we're joined by Dark Sakura. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Purple and very, blue.
Yes, she's... I know this is radio, so you don't get to see it, but you'll just have to imagine it. Dark Sakura is rocking a purple and blue hairstyle, but it's very... Like, it's not like punk rock, but a little punk rock.
Yeah, it's a blue to purple ombre.
Yeah.
Mostly
like it.
Purple.
It's cute.
Thank you. My inspiration for the cut was kind of Ramona Flowers
without
the bangs.
I got it. So, you know, even though we're not a video and people can't see you, they could see it at Gamer X this coming weekend.
They can. Hopefully I won't have roots by then.
Or you'll just have to get it re-dyed real quick.
But I have to not. I'm not going to be doing my Monokuma cosplay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Because somebody had to schedule the cosplay on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, the timing's a little funky this year, but we do have the panel.
Yes,
so come see us at the panel.
Maybe I'll make the Monokuma mask.
That would be something. All right, let's get to a little bit simpler time though. Before we had all these fancy conventions with cosplay. Actually, we did have those 10 years ago, but I've got nothing else for a transition. So, the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura. What'd you pick this week?
I picked Sokyu Gurentai.
Gurentai.
Hey. It means Blue Sky Crimson Lotus Squad, which is a game, a vertical scrolling shooter in the vein of, I would say, Radiant Silver Gun. Stylistically, it looks very similar. But this game was an arcade game that came out. It's only in Japan, by the way. But there was the arcade version in 1996, and then it came out on the Sega Saturn February 7th, 1997. And then on PlayStation in December 25th, 1997, and a re-release May 22nd, 2003. It also had mobile versions. It was... Now, keep in mind, these were the older Japanese phones, but they were the EasyWeb, iMode, and Yahoo version for mobile. But it is...
That was like when Japan had, like, iPhone, Android-type stuff while we were still rocking flip phones, right?
Well, it was actually all that shit on a flip phone.
Wow.
So, but, yeah.
Now, I remember my flip phone would play like a crappy little Castlevania clone, but it was, you know, it wasn't very good. Mm. Anyway.
Well, anyway, this game is put out by a company called Rising, with a Z in the middle. And they actually did do an English version of the game called Terra Diver, but it never came out. So the biggest version that people know is the Saturn version being probably the best version of it. And if somebody wants to give me this, please do, because I would desperately like a copy. But not paying, you know, Radiant Silvergun money. Anyway, like I said, it is a vertical scrolling shooter. You can pick three different ships, red, blue, or green. Each of them have their own pilot and a fire pattern and a laser web. Each ship has a gun and a bomb, but you have this thing called a laser web, where you hold down the button for the gun and it releases a lock-on laser web that's shaped like a cone or semicircle, and it will destroy the enemies it locks onto after you release. Each ship has two different lock-on weapons, and they both work for the web laser thingy. Also, once the enemy enters a web's range, the player can destroy the enemy or multiple enemies by fire with homing lasers or fireballs. And the game, the interesting thing about this is that it is not set for a 3-to-4 aspect ratio like the vertically oriented monitors. It uses a horizontal monitor, 4-to-3, like the Neo Geo shooters and Radiant Silvergun and Gigawing. The game has a plot. It's basically after Earth is exhausted, they start doing a space program and go to mine outside of Earth, and basically shit happens. So I will let you, you know, read the synopsis for this for yourself. One of the things that I like, though, is the intro of this game, because it does this big kanji text that makes me think that when they designed Evangelion, they totally were fans of this game and ripped the style of the text, you know, with the big, bold, white kanji with, like, an occasional red one thrown in or a different color.
Even I'm getting that vibe from it, too.
Yeah.
From what little I see.
So this one was originally on the STV arcade machine, and so the Sega Saturn release was pretty much as perfect as could be. The PlayStation version has less graphical clarity and some slowdown. And then later on, the Saturn had a re-release. It was Sōkyū Gurentai Otokyo, which is an enhanced port that fixed some bugs. And it had a playable demo of a game called Battle Garega. Garega. I'm going to pronounce that wrong. And of course, there was a mobile phone version. This game is actually probably one of Rising's most popular arcade games. The Saturn version was given a 92% by Consoles Plus. And there you go. It's also just kind of fun to say, you know. Sōkyū Gurentai. Now on sale.
Or Terra Diver. Or not. Although not
Terra
really.
Diver, it's a good name, but I like the Japanese name. It's just fun to say.
It is fun to say. Thank you for saying it this week, Dark Sakura.
You're welcome. Do you want to try it?
No. Okay. There it is, your classic game of the week.
Oh, Sōkyū Gurentai.
It wasn't as sexy that time, I gotta say.
Sōkyū Gurentai.
Thank you. Much better when you give it the bassy kind of George Takei style pronunciation to it.
Yeah, I have to be vocal.
Oh my. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week. Thank you, Dark Sakura.
You're welcome.
So I know a lot of you that like classic games, really probably like Super Mario Brothers, a classic platformer, and that's what made Super Mario Maker a pretty kick-ass game, you know? Say what you will about the Wii U, as we did earlier in the show.
That's unfortunately why I haven't been playing a lot of games. I've been watching a lot of Let's Plays of, like, these really crazy glitched levels or, like, you know, intricate Super Mario Maker levels.
Yeah, I always, you know, if I wasn't doing like 4 podcasts a week, I would do more live streaming of Mario Maker because there's so, you know, so much fun stuff to find in that. So, I don't know, maybe after tonight's show or something. Who knows? But anyway, so Super Mario Maker, of course, one of the big things they announced recently is that Super Mario Maker is going to be coming to the 3DS. You know, that'll, I'm sure, be a popular title on the 3DS as well. So people can make levels and play them on the go and all that stuff. But did you know that Mario Maker on the 3DS will not actually be in 3D? It's really Super Mario Maker for 2DS. So 3DS will not have 3D in Super Mario Maker for the 3DS. So it is kind of silly that you see 3DS so prominently on the box art. I mean, I understand that that's the name of the system, but it's funny that it's not in 3D. But at the same time, what were we expecting? You know, it would be a lot of work to go back in and probably add three-dimension type of stuff to these levels.
It's not really a game that's going to benefit.
It doesn't necessitate it or necessarily benefit from it. So I'm not like complaining. It's just kind of one of those like, oh, well, maybe the title just should have been different. Like maybe Super Mario Maker Portable, Super Mario Maker Go, Super Mario Maker, you know, instead of emphasizing the 3D,
or
there
just
isn't actually 3D.
Or they can go the very unique, and well thought out titling that they do with Smash Brothers. Super Mario Maker for 3DS.
Which, is that what, Super Mario Maker for Nintendo 3DS, that is what it's called. Oh. So, but oh. But you can play it on a 2DS, so it's not really for a 3DS. But anyway, if you want to check it out, $40 is what it's going to cost you, and it is out on December 2nd. So I'm okay with that not having 3D, and I'm pretty sure Nintendo is done with 3D.
But the thing,
and this NX thing isn't going to involve
that
it.
That being said, the thing that's really disappointing about it is that it doesn't support. You can't download all the levels. You can only share locally with your friends.
I thought there was something where you could do, like, you can go on and get, like, random levels or something like that. Like, you still can play the shuffle modes, which just seems really weird to me.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it works differently when you're online on the internet versus, you know, when you're out on the go. Because obviously that's a big problem. When you're on the go, you can't put in a random level.
That I understand, yeah, because you have to have internet in order to do that stuff, but... That would be really lame, though, if you can't, like, oh, hey, one of the best parts about Super Mario Maker, we're just not going to include it.
Mm. Yeah, and Bobby Blackwolf trying to clarify it in chat, too, saying the 100 challenge is done online, yes, but you can't search for them. So that does seem a little weird to me, because it's going online to get those courses then, but then that's it. You can't do the search or anything like that. That seems oddly
the
limiting.
3DS just can't handle searching.
I guess not, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to buy it. I love Mario Maker. I think it was my favorite game last year, right? But I love it on the Wii U, and I'll just keep playing it on Wii U.
Exactly, and you know that they'll port that shit to the NX, so why even bother?
And now that we might have a discussion about, especially, hey, if they are like, it's Super Mario Maker, but we're adding new level types into it, or we're going to add
Mario
these new features.
2.
Mario 2 is so different, though, but you know what? I'd still be here for it if they figure it out. Somehow, or like crazy shit, like you know, in NES Remix, there's like a remix level where you play a stage from Mario 3, but you play it as the princess from Mario 2. Like, I would love something like that, where like you can use the Mario 2 characters in Mario Maker levels. I would love that. So maybe, you know, if they are gonna do it again on NX, like step it up,
or even better, like just do like Nintendo Maker, where you have, you know, you could do instead of just Mario stuff. It's like, okay, this is gonna be a Metroid level, or this is gonna be a Mega Man level, or this is a Kirby level.
All right, let's move on with some rapid fire news, Loki.
All right, so really do need to go back to Grand Theft Auto, especially Grand Theft Auto Online, because they keep adding all these updates, and they're really cool, but I haven't played it in months, years. But yeah, the new update is going to be the Bikers update, and it basically adds the ability for you to run your own motorcycle club. So you can up to eight players can lead a motorcycle club, and that has new competitive and co-op gameplay online, new motorcycles, weapons, and tattoos and hairstyles and all that stuff. So go check it out, because it is free, and they're going to be coming out soon. It doesn't really have a specific date when that's going to be coming out, but I know the stunting one that they just released online is fantastic. If you like racing in those games, especially some of the stunt races people used to make, especially when they have the, you know, course editor, it is some crazy shit out there right now. So seriously, go check that out, including myself. I need to do that. So Minecon was just recently hosted, and one of the things that they announced during Minecon, I guess, is that there's going to be some new download content coming to Minecraft, of course. One of those being the Chinese Mythology Mashup Pack is coming in an update on October 4th. It's going to add a new world that's inspired by the Far East. And I guess you'll be able to wander through like streets and stuff like that. And they have 13 new tracks that kind of go along with that, and 41 new skins. And along with, I guess maybe a level for the battle minigame as well. So check it out. One of the other things, though, that they kind of announced and then pulled back. I was going to say in the mashup pack will cost you $5. So one of the things they kind of announced on Twitter and then kind of pulled back a little bit is that Minecraft is going to be the first universal cross-platform game. So that included basically PlayStation, Xbox, mobile, and PC.
Oh, that's cool.
But I think it's only in the realms, because they did they released that and then they deleted the tweet for that, because the original picture had like this, you know, it showed basically all the different devices and everything. But I think it's maybe just realms right now. But hey, that's kind of cool though that they may be able to get into that and have that sort of support where you can play with anybody someday. Because I know the PC and mobile or Pocket Edition, they're getting up there to the feature support as of, you know, what they have with the console version at least. And I'm not sure where the PC version is. It's been a while since I've actually delved into the PC version, but you know, tons of new things keep coming to it.
Yeah, it's a game that keeps on giving, I guess. Remember YouTube Live? It's still going, just so you know, YouTube. I gotta admit, though, I don't know a lot of people that stream exclusively on YouTube. I know they have some big personalities over there, obviously, yeah. But it seems like YouTube is more the place for the pre-packaged stuff. I just don't see a lot of streaming going on
there's
over there.
A lot of live
I'm not
stuff.
Knocking it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
No, I see a lot of live stuff, but it's mainly like press events and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that do live things on YouTube. It's just that I don't really know an easy way to look for those, and you know, I don't follow a lot of people that do that. I mean, one of those examples, you know, way back, unfortunately, and this is, I think, before they even really did a lot of that stuff, was, you know, Pushing Pixels and, you know, Cooking with Unity. Sadly, their show's been off for a long time, but they used to do live shows on YouTube.
Gotcha. Well, YouTube trying to kind of amp up their gaming presence and all that, and this is a pretty big name for them to bring on regularly. They were already using Jeff Keighley during E3, but Jeff Keighley is now going to be working with YouTube for a new live show that will be broadcast on Thursday nights, and it's going to be a part of YouTube Gaming, and they're going to do trailers and gameplay footage and developer interviews, and I'm assuming maybe they're trying to build a place for studios to do their reveals, kind of like they do during E3 and like they do during Jeff Keighley's video game awards show and all that stuff. So, I mean, this would be a platform for that, especially having his name tied to that.
Well, I remember like the old game trailers, you know, show that they used to have. So,
yeah, he's going to be working with some other YouTubers that already are a part of this, like Nadeshot, iJustine, MatPat, iHasCupQuake. I think I've heard of one of those people, to be honest. But anyhow, that because we watch different things, and that's okay. I'm sure they're very talented. But, of course, YouTube Gaming is not going to be the first live show. Thank you. but as far as video shows go, IGN has one, GameSpot has one, and so forth. But, you know, YouTube's going to have that visibility because people go to YouTube for things that aren't necessarily just gaming. Anyway, their first show is this Thursday, just in time for them to cover TwitchCon, which is a big thing that's going on in gaming this weekend, right? That is kind of unfortunate that GamerX and TwitchCon end up being the same weekend. It's kind of a bummer that it worked out that way, but yeah. Anyway, also, Final Fantasy 15. Apparently, a newer build of the game was shown at EGX, and one of the folks that writes over there was saying that, hey, there actually is some improvement shown because of this delay. Because Final Fantasy 15, you know, this next week was supposed to be the week. Next week was supposed to be the week that we would all be playing Final Fantasy 15, and now our gaming calendars have a hole in them. While we
they
wait.
Do, and I've been drooling over Forza Horizon 3. I'm
there
like, yeah, I need to get an Xbox One.
Forza Horizon 3 would have just been like, I hate to say dead in the water because I love Forza Horizon, but for me personally, I would have just skipped it if Final Fantasy 15 had come out the same day. But now I can pick up Forza Horizon and maybe have some time to play it, although with the Expo this weekend, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But there you go. Final Fantasy 15 apparently to some previews that are going out there, they are showing that there's a little more, and this is on a regular PlayStation 4, not a PlayStation 4 Pro or anything like that, but that some of the fluidity is improved a little bit, and it's not looking quite as choppy. So that's pretty exciting to hear that they've got that nice coat of polish on it, because for a game that we've basically been waiting 10 years for, it needs to be really good.
Yeah.
It needs to be really good. Let's travel around the world and check out what's in stores this week, Loki.
So this is pretty awesome. This is one game I've been waiting for a while, because I actually follow the developer, well, not only on Twitter, but also on the Unity 3D subreddit, and where he's been, you know, he posted a lot of stuff on this. But Cluster Truck is coming to PC this week on Steam. Also, Darkest Dungeon on PlayStation 4 and Vita. FIFA 17 on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Just speaking about Forza Horizon 3, that's coming out on Windows 10 and on Xbox One. Galgun Double Piece on PC. Ooh, I'm going to have to pick that up as well. Lich Spear on PC, Mac, and Linux, and PlayStation 4. Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice, woo, on 3DS.
Can't wait. Number one fan right here.
XCOM 2 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. this is an awesome title. Burly Men at Sea on PC.
What? Pre-ordering that. What's Burly Men at Sea?
Burly Men at Sea.
What platforms is this on?
That's on PC.
On PC. Hold on. I want to bring this up. Apparently it's a Steam Greenlight thing that's going on here. I'm looking at this. Oh, there's a autoplay teaser going on here. It looks like the graphics in this are pretty simple, and it's, you only see their backs. This is not the type of game I was expecting to see with a game called Burly Men at Sea. Rama in chat says, need more seamen in your life? This is a family show. Don't be disgusting. All right.
Demon Gaze 2 on PlayStation Vita. We also have Hybrid Wars on PC. The Metronomicon on PC and Mac. Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 on 3DS. Xeno Raid on PC, and Yo-Kai Watch 2 on 3DS. That's it.
All right, going to Japan and checking out what's on their shelves this week. Dead Rising and Dead Rising 2 in the Definitive Collection, that whole bundle we got, what, last week or the week before? Japan is getting this week on September 29th on the PlayStation 4. The Biohazard Value Pack is also coming out, so that's obviously a repackaging of some of the Resident Evil stuff that's been on the platform. FIFA 17 comes out as well, which I imagine will be a pretty big deal. That is, of course, in regular and deluxe editions, because we love deluxe editions in Japan. Going over to the PlayStation Vita, which, yes, still has releases, including Demon Gaze 2, also on September 29th. Kimi wo Eogi Otome wa Hime ni is out in just a limited edition, but you can get Pre-Mini Star in regular and limited edition this week. And Pre-Mini Star is anime babes at the beach, basically. Maid outfits, bikinis, the whole works, all of it. All your anime fantasies coming true in that game. And on the Nintendo DS in Japan, it doesn't actually look like... Oh, Yo-Kai... No, that's here in the U.S. I don't think there's really any big games this week, just a bunch of covers and stuff. But nothing... no games, really, in Japan this week. At least on my list. So, okay. Let's go to the UK.
In UK, we've got Forza Horizon 3 on Windows 10 and Xbox One. Also, FIFA 17 coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, 360, and PlayStation 3. I did notice, because I completely forgot about it, considering I have a pre-order for it. PlayStation VR, is that only a couple weeks away?
Yeah, it's what, like October 16th or something like that?
13th is what I see on a bunch of the VR games. I'm like, damn.
I have to make the go or no-go decision on that, like, in the next week, really.
Hoping to get my new job.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to hear something. So if that means a new job, means more pay, so I can purchase this.
Here's where I'm at. Like, I have that and the Pro ordered, but I know in my gut I'm not going to get both. That's just too much money. Like, you know... I am able to spend some money here and there, but that's a bit much.
I would probably hold off on the Pro until you get 4K TV.
Well, I kind of think at this point I may not get either, because now it has just come up that there's going to be a major Ingress event fun day in Chicago in November, and I have friends in Chicago who I really wouldn't mind visiting their fair city and going to that Ingress event in Chicago. I don't know if that's happening yet, but flights are expensive. But I'm like, well, if I forego the PlayStation VR, that's money saved. So I'm starting to have that whole debate with myself. It's how badly do I want to play Rez? And I do want to point out, badly. But there is a non-VR version of that game. Somebody I know has got to pick up that VR system, so I'll be able to play it there eventually. But do I need to play that all day, every day in my own house? I don't know. I just don't know yet. So I'm just, my feelings of PlayStation VR are very complicated right now.
I'm worried, and I almost came, like, I was cleaning out the garage this weekend, and one of the things I was, like, kind of thinking of, like, you know, gaming rules almost. And I want to think, like, one of them was never buy a gaming peripheral, you know, like, it, basically, like, not necessarily, like, a, you know, any gaming peripheral, but, you know, like, the Kinect. Or, you know, the Move, all this, like, additional stuff that they add to a console afterwards, because it ends up being poorly supported. And I'm worried that PlayStation VR is going to be that, hey, we're doing all this 3D stuff, and then it's just, eh. Or they come out with something better, you know, shortly after, like the PlayStation VR Pro or something like that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, maybe I just don't need one day one. Maybe I'll still get one, but I can wait a little bit to see what else kind of comes of it, and I don't necessarily need to be dealing with it.
But I have that money down. I already have $100 down, so...
Oh, I don't. I so, brought it on Amazon, so I don't have to do that.
I got a GameStop, so... Yeah.
Well, you get that money back, right, if you cancel it?
Yeah, but like...
Well, in credit or something? I hope not. That'd probably
God, no, they better...
Oh, that's good. Well, anyway, it's complicated. All this guy. This is a very complicated show tonight, Lou. It is plausible that tonight's show is complicated.
Well, I'm just looking at like the what VR games they have coming out, and it's like Batman Arkham VR. Yeah, don't care. Drive Club VR. Yeah, don't really care. VR Worlds. Yeah, that might be all right. But like, you know, Rez in PlayStation VR World. That's pretty much it. Ooh, Roller Coaster Dreams. That might be kind of cool.
The Final Fantasy experience I'd like to see in the VR thing, too. Yeah. So, I mean, there are things I want to check out with it, but it's just like...
Maybe I'll wait.
Is it $500 bad, you know, that whole thing? Yeah. So, anyway, let's get to the mailbag and see what you guys have to say in our mailbag, because every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we dive into the email bag, and while Dark Sakura is not present while she's on her little vacation, and we don't have Radio Magic for the mailbag. I'm sorry, only the classic game. I'm reading emails this week, and we have a few, actually. I think last week we didn't have any, or maybe just one, and this week we have like three long ones. So let's get to the emails this week. Speaking of complicated, Redertainment is sending us this first email. Greetings, Podtopians. At this point in the show, you've probably touched on this week's controversy over Palmer Luckey and his involvement with the political action group Nimble America. I've seen a lot of talk about this controversy over this week, but I've seen very little touch on the tactics utilized by Nimble America. These tactics are touched upon in a quote taken from an article by the Daily Beast, the article that seemed to be the light match in this firestorm, link given. With a quote, Nimble America says it's dedicated to proving that shitposting is powerful and meme magic is real. I'm actually laughing as I'm reading that. Either this quote is bullshit and it was crafted to get a reaction, or it articulates the tactics utilized by Nimble America. Tactics like this are what makes many online communities blatantly hostile and caustic to all but those that exist within those communities. Strip away what their political aim is, Nimble America's tactics are just plain wrong, and tactics like this should not be tolerated no matter what the agenda behind them is. A group's image, and often the image of the movement they stand for, is painted by the tactics they utilize. If the tactics are good, then the group is seen as good and generally continues until their aim is met. If the tactics are bad, then the group behind those tactics generally doesn't last long. It is my honest hope that Nimble America goes quickly away, not because of the viewpoints they espouse, but because of the way they go about trying to create their vision of the world. Stay care, Redertainment. Thank you for the email. Obviously, we've kind of already dived into this issue, and I'm not going to spend another 5 minutes on it. However, I think you did articulate very well, perhaps better than even I did, because I had 5,000 thoughts I had to barf out during that segment. But I think you articulated very well like where the problem kind of lied with the whole thing. But I will defer to our conversation earlier. But thank you for the email. I shall move on to Rob. who sends us our next email, who says, one important lesson from your interview about Silent Earth, remember our interview last week, was that a, quote, stealth release is not a good idea when developing an indie game. I'd like to share my opinions on why. Stealth release is like the belief that your game will be a sleeper hit. Sleeper hits are called that because they are rare and unpredictable. It is unlikely that your game will be a sleeper hit, so you are probably setting yourself up for failure. Showing your progress in a collaborative environment will get you feedback outside of your own vision for the game. Not only will people point out obvious flaws and things that are simply not fun, but you also get a sample of what customers will want. Lastly, free PR. You can't afford advertising. Also, no matter how much it hurts, if your game is a stinker, you need to hear it as early as possible. Thanks, Robaba. Great email from Robaba, and yeah, it was a great little takeaway from our interview last week where the developer had been talking about that he was considering kind of releasing it as a surprise, but then decided, no, he didn't want to do that, and he had this very transparent kind of like log, and he was getting a lot of that feedback, and I think Robaba really kind of accentuates a lot of that with some very good points in that email. So I don't really have a lot to add to that email either. I think that email is just well said. So really, all I'm doing tonight is reading. So let's see how this last email goes from YYR, who starts off, hello, LR. Just some thoughts on last week's episode. Please put on your tinfoil hat for this. Oh, good thing ours are very well worn tonight. YYR. Regarding the many games that have been delayed to quarter one 2017, I'm starting to think that these are happening on purpose. Dun, dun, dun. The first quarter of 2017 is now bursting at the seams with big releases. And what else is supposedly coming out in the first quarter of 2017? Nintendo NX. Oh, shit. Here we go. Yeah, damn it. I thought I was done. God damn it, YYR. God damn it.
All right.
It's the show where every gamer has a voice, so YYR gets a turn. It's almost looking to me like maybe, just maybe, Sony and Microsoft are puppet masters here, whispering to publishers, no, you don't need to release those games for the holidays. Why not in February or March? So that when the NX, whatever the hell it is actually called, releases, folks might look at it and say, well, look at all the stuff that just came out on Xbox and PlayStation. Do I really need more gaming hardware? Yes, this theory borders on batshit crazy, but we've already seen these companies take whatever opportunities they can to plug their products and put down the others. So how crazy is this theory, really? All I can say is, it's plausible. I just wanted to feed that to the chatters. I'm feeding the trolls in chat tonight. You can take the hat off now. Regarding the interview with Sam, I must say I heartily endorse the creation of any new arcade-style games because those are my favorites, and I look forward to trying Silent Earth, perhaps at MAGFest. But his answer regarding the question of portrait versus landscape was interesting to me. He said that he chose the portrait orientation because it's more natural because of the way we're used to holding our phones. On the occasions that I have used my phones or tablets in the landscape orientation, I haven't ever felt that it was awkward, not in my opinion at least. But what made this comment stand out to me is that the end result is not merely aesthetic. The portrait orientation also dramatically reduces the difficulty of missile command. Not only is there less ground to defend, the incoming missiles also have further to travel. This is not necessarily a bad thing. If anything, it significantly helps the game's accessibility. And yet, the developer's choice of orientation seems to have been made without regard to that major difference. Just an aside that's not in the email. I think you can also account for some of that because the game was still very difficult, in my opinion, and we even kind of talked about that in the interview. I think you could change some of that with, you know, how big are the missiles, how big are the explosion radiuses and everything. You know, there is still stuff that can be tweaked with that, but I just want to make sure that was out there. Back to YYR's email. I'd be interested to know your thoughts, well, there you go, both on whether you believe that the game design is evolving to be a bit more about aesthetics and a bit less about concrete things like game difficulty, and also whether you dislike the landscape orientation for any reason. I'd love to hear chat's take on this, too. Well, let's take a minute to talk about that. And I think this was almost best accentuated with Nintendo coming out at the Apple conference and showing Super Mario Run. And one of the big things they were talking about was you can play it with one hand. And they were showing what? Miyamoto playing it in one hand while his other hand was jerking it. No, I'm kidding. I just want to see if you're paying attention. If his other hand was like holding a Subway bar or something like that, right? So, you know, because and that is a very common thing. Like you look like in subways, a lot of people kind of texting one-handed and all that stuff or while they're driving. Okay, again, just wanted to see if you were paying attention. That's just Loki playing Pokemon Go as he's at the intersection.
Yes, intersection.
But in that regard, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it does feel a little more natural one-handed to be in portrait as opposed to landscape. You can kind of do landscape one-handed, but you can, your thumb can only cover half the screen. Like, try it. Especially if you have an iPhone 6 Plus like I do. My thumb can only hit half the screen in landscape. It doesn't work too well. So, yeah, portrait feels a lot more natural with these bigger phones, and your thumb can kind of carry more area. So I can see where that comes into it. And, you know, we talked about last week as well, Luminous, the puzzle game, did change to a portrait orientation game when Loki and I, the week before, full on expected it was going to be widescreen.
Yeah, and it also landscape. Changed to a really shitty control game.
Well, it already was on the last iPhone version, yeah. But... regardless, at least it was a little bit better this time. And the portrait thing I found out really wasn't a big deal for me. And maybe that's just because I have a Plus, you know, and a lot of you have those, you know, Androids that are just as big, you know. And so it's like you still kind of have a lot of real estate to work with, even in portrait mode. It kind of works out.
Who cares? You're just tapping, like in Mario, you're just tapping the screen.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where it's at.
In the game Silent Earth, it was about tapping the screen to do the missiles as well. There wasn't a lot of like swiping or any other complex things. So
I don't know. But to go back to like releasing in quarter one, that's unfortunately not because of the NX. That's something they've been doing for a long time. It's just the fourth quarter gets so packed full of stuff, it's hard to make your game stand out against everything. And so it's easier just to delay it and, you know, put it in that dead period.
Go to a September show in any of our 15-year history of this show, and we're talking about some damn game that gets delayed, and we always
always stuff.
Wow, next year's going to be really packed. All the good stuff's coming out next year. Now it's like every year. I feel like a broken record.
It is. I mean, because before, like, if it doesn't get delayed, it's, you know, it used to be, it's like, oh, everyone's afraid of Call of Duty. I don't think that's the case anymore. But it's just, I mean, I think they've learned that they can delay a game and still does really well in that time period. Especially, you know, even though March is usually packed full of titles, January and February are usually pretty dead. And so, I mean, February actually has been pretty, it's been getting more packed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, typically those are really dead months so that you can put your game out there and have more attention for it.
It's like movies, really. I mean, you can release a movie at any time, and if people really want to see it, they'll go. Like, they talk about, like, January is a dead period, February is a dead period, but, like, I feel like within the past few years, like, they've been releasing big movies in January, February, yeah. And they do very well because those are expected to be, but people aren't suddenly going to be like, oh, I should stop going to movies.
Yeah, they're not going to, no publisher,
unless
or no,
you're me.
No, like, Microsoft or Sony is not going to tell people to delay their game till the first quarter because of the NX. They're going to be like, fuck that. Put your game out now so that the fourth quarter stuff looks good so we can sell more of those PlayStation Pros and shit. I mean, that's what they're going to be trying to do. It's not, I don't know. They're never going to tell people to delay a game.
All right. And sadly, YYR chat isn't really responding to your question. They're too hung up on the Miyamoto jerking it comment. Sorry about that. All right. So I'll finish off YYR's email here. I'll end by congratulating Loki on his bathroom revelation, which you talked about on the show last week. Where
yes,
you...
and sadly, that has not caused me to actually do any game development because I'm still too fucking tired. I've tried. I've been trying, and unfortunately, the wife has gotten into American Horror Story now, so that's on TV.
No.
And because it's new, it's like, attention, woo, I'm going to watch TV. You know, it was starting to get a little easy to, even Grey's Anatomy, like, I don't care about that show, but my God, if it's on TV, my brain's just like, I need to pay attention to this. Or like, hey, I'm going to look up this information that I need, oh, and I'm on YouTube, and I'm browsing shit.
I watch hardly any TV and all that stuff. I've talked about this before because I'm too busy playing video games, but like, you know, my buddy Shane will ask me, like, well, don't you, or he'll tell me, like, watch this while you're doing Netflix, or he'll talk about how he's watched the entire series of Parks and Recreation over the past couple weeks. I'm like, how do you have time for that? But he plays that on one monitor while he games on the other, and I'm like, I can't do that because I'm like you. I see something on TV, I'm like, oh, television.
It all depends. Like, if it was like an MMO, like if it was like Final Fantasy or something like that, maybe
you think you can, but you unless you're doing something like mining, even then I can listen to a podcast while I do those menial tasks in Final Fantasy, but I can't fucking raid or something like that.
Like, I can't do that. Like, I've tried, you know, at work. See, because lately my job at work, you know, I've been programming. Ironically enough, I've been doing more programming at work than I have been at home, and which is not even my job at all at work, but I've been programming macros to automate stuff at my job. And so I've been actually doing lots of programming, but I can't listen to a podcast while I do that. My brain just, it needs to be distraction free in order to do that. I just can't. Like, if I'm doing mundane stuff, I can listen to a podcast, but I cannot program and listen to a podcast at the same time. At least right now. Not enough caffeine, maybe.
All right. Well, anyhow, YYR ends his email. I'll end by congratulating Loki on his bathroom revelation. I'm thrilled that he can finally shit his focus towards his game, and I'm sure that the end product will be much improved. And, well, if it doesn't turn out good at all, there's always Minecraft and Call of Duty, I guess. Poop, YYR.
This is pretty expected from someone that came up with pixel shit, so I guess I'm not too surprised. And I humbly accept that praise.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us some highbrow humor like we had in that last email. Again, it's participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Hey, we have some more news before we get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki.
So, Capcom. What are you doing, Capcom? Seriously. You released an anti-
Where do we start?
So they just released an update for Street Fighter V that's supposed to bring additional characters, but also has some sort of feature or patch to shut down cheating. While that's a good idea, the way they went about it, not so great. So basically they have this anti-cheating protocol that grants kernel access to your system. And because of that, it could be exploited as a backdoor into your system. So because of that, they're now going to be rolling back that latest security measure. And so, yeah, that kind of sucks. It's like, could there be another way to do that without, you know, leaving my computer open for people to hack it? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, PC people, they tend to really watch what's going on with their system, and they're very possessive about people getting in there and putting things on it that you know, may be questionable type of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that was the best idea for Capcom to do. Look, I'm all for them taking measures to ban cheating, but maybe that software they should put on their computers and not mine. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's talk about Killer Instinct, since we're talking about fighting games. You know, Killer Instinct Season 3 is a thing that's going on, which I have to admit, I haven't paid a lot of attention to. I have Season 1 and 2, but I have yet to really catch up on Season 3, but maybe this is an opportunity for me to, because Killer Instinct just got their story mode, because this is the cool thing to do now, is put out your story mode way later. But to be fair,
two seasons later.
Well, to be fair, Killer Instinct was also kind of that free game. You know, yes, I know they piecemealed some of it, but a little bit different the way they went about it in the very beginning. But regardless, there is now a free story mode, and it will have Shadow Lords in it. So I guess you can actually play Shadow Lords over and over, and it's a type of conclusion to Season 3. You can also get the $40 Killer Instinct Definitive Edition that has pretty much everything that has come out thus far. All the fighters, all the skins, all the stages, and a gold costume for Gargos.
I think that the last one that they put out last, it was like right before, it was either at the end of Season 1 or end of Season 2, was also the Definitive Edition or something like that. It's like,
yeah, right.
Definitive for now, until we come out with some more shit, then there's going to be a more definitive edition.
No, seriously, definitive.
Seriously definitive.
The plausibly definitive edition.
Definitive as in, well, there might be more content later.
Moving on, Loki.
So From Software is going to be working on some new games. Of course, I'm assuming that some of those are going to be, you know, Dark Souls-ish. One of them, though, is going to be Armored Core, and I'm a pretty big fan of Armored Core, so I am definitely looking forward to that. The last one that they did not say what it is, so there's something else out there that's going to be coming out, but Armored Core, yes, please, want more. Now, imagine if it was Armored Core, though, but like Dark Souls hard. I don't know if I'd want to play that.
Hopefully, we'll have a varying skill level or some type of like.
Yeah, because I'm pretty much like not very good at the game, but I will play it because it's just like kind of missiles, fire stuff, missiles, more missiles. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Well, I sure hope Enchanted Arms 2 is one of the other titles that they're working on. Remember that one?
Enchanted Arms, yeah.
We'll see. Dark Tetsuya in chat asked, new Kingsfield?
Actually, I think it was Enchant Arm.
Was it? I thought it was Enchanted Arm. Or no,
Enchant Arm.
Whatever.
This is one arm.
Whatever. It's one game.
Your arm is enchanted.
Sequel coming out. But it was like the first RPG on 360, I think, was this big thing. It was the first, because it came out before Blue Dragon or Lost Odyssey or any of that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, whoopsie shit.
Bobby Blackwolf says it was Enchanted Arms.
Oh,
I think in Japan,
it had
like a modified title. But anyway, who cares? Because now it's all about Mass Effect, right? And do you want to be in a Mass Effect game? Because I kind of feel like I really should have already done this, and I haven't, and that's probably a mistake. However, I have until September 28th, because BioWare is giving Mass Effect fans a chance to voice a character in an upcoming Mass Effect game. Note that that does not mean Mass Effect Andromeda. It probably is, but it doesn't mean it is. You're Loki, you're laughing over there. Oh, are you going to enter?
No.
Are you gonna
God,
do your
I'm not a fan.
You should do your tingle voice.
No, I don't need your tingle voice.
But Loki, if you won in your tingle voice for the character in Mass Effect, which I think there's like two different scripts or whatever, if you were to win, you would be put up in a fabulous city like Edmonton, London, or Los Angeles, which would be your city because it's the closest.
You said fabulous city.
For 2 nights and 3 days, meaning a weekend. And you will take part in a professional voice recording session at Studio BioWare. But by the way, there's no guarantee your voice will actually be used, and we don't know what game it's going to end up in. Those are all the standard disclaimers.
Now, this is a total side tangent here.
But
on your screen there, I know that says Virginia, but it looks like vagina from here. I'm sorry.
It's an ad on a website that has the cliff notes I'm using for this story. And yeah, it does kind of look like vagina. But it's branded a unique first-person thriller that's available now on Steam. A first-person thriller vagina. Oh, how old are we? No, it's Virginia. It's a little bird.
So what do they have like a script or anything?
They do. Actually, there's like two sample scripts and you can submit one of those. Your recording does have to be in English. You can submit audio or video, but it can't.
Do they have them online? Can we do this live?
Well, we could because I guess. Where is? Let's see.
Let's see if we can.
Do you want to do it live?
Yeah, we'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. All right, let's see. Let's go. Okay, we're going to go from BioWare. And let's see. Explorers Wanted Contest. Okay, okay, script one and script two. Here we go. Right. Script one. Okay, so do you want to... Now, obviously, the winner would not voice Ryder. The winner would voice this Jordan Tate in this first script. So do you want to do Jordan Tate and I'll do Ryder? Or you want to flip it and I'll do Jordan Tate, you do Ryder?
I'll do Jordan Tate.
All right. So here is Loki's audition... Which, by the way, they say it's an unannounced Mass Effect game, and then I want to point out at the top of the script it has the Mass Effect Andromeda logo. So here we go. All right, Loki auditioning for the part of Jordan Tate in Mass Effect Andromeda. Jordan Tate is a smart and talented indie documentarian eager to give the real perspective on life in Andromeda. Okay, so the inquisitive reporter. You ready? Here we go.
So much stress. I'm this.
I know. Starring Loki and Rob Roberts as Ryder.
Ryder, isn't it? Jordan Tate, freelance vid maker. Superintendent Drake asked for an uplifting documentary about our efforts. Translation, paint rainbows all over our problems. But people deserve the truth, not propaganda.
Perhaps a crisis is a time for hope rather than hard truths.
But if we pretend everything's fine, who does that really serve? I want the dirt and the blood, not just a convenient fairy tale Drake's looking for.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Well, how do you think things are going? Official reports don't tell us very much.
I think people should go out and see Andromeda for themselves.
No trouble at all? Are those scars on your armor just from popping the champagne?
Hey, fuck you, buddy. Oh, I had it. Sorry, I improvised. Sorry.
Never mind. If that's your take, that's what's going in. Bandwidth means I'm transmitting in short bursts, so that's all for now.
Bravo, Loki!
That's just crap. Oh, I didn't even realize I'm supposed to have, yes, like... Loki, I didn't even read any of that.
Loki didn't even realize there's direction on the rest, on the right side of the screen that he was being given. Loki just said, I'm going to do it my way. Fuck you. There it is. Dark Tetsuyu in chat says, also, Robin Loki reading game scripts should totally be a segment. Be careful what you wish for. Dark Tetsuya, be careful what you wish for. I would love to get guests to come in and banter on the scripts that they wrote. That's my dream competition, is to watch Loki butcher their scripts.
Oh,
live.
I can butcher anything because I don't read very well. I'm not
That's quite the thing to admit.
I'm not the expert literacy.
Orange Lounge Radio just went dark. I can't read very well.
No, it's not that I don't read well. It's just I read too quick, and so like I skip shit, or like I don't read ahead enough.
That's okay. That's,
whatever. I just don't care is what it is.
You only tripped over a couple of words.
Exactly. It's the first time.
He was reading over my
you
shoulder.
You would have to practice, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You would do a couple takes and listen to the one you like best, and that's the one you submit. All right. Anyhow. All right. Next up, Loki.
All right. So No Man's Sky has been created, or I should say recreated, in Doom. Yes, so someone made a mod for Doom called No Guy's Sky.
And not the new Doom, right?
Like old
like
Doom.
The old 90s shareware Doom.
Right, the original Doom.
A WAD file. Mm-hmm. Or was that Duke Nukem that used WAD files?
Basically said, you know, everything is randomly generated from the sky to the ground to the aliens. You can even mod, you know, mod yourself to wear the face of anyone you want, even, you know, your own, if you want to do that. You can mine for resources with lasers, fly about with a jetpack, or even talk to the aliens. That's ridiculous.
You know what's also ridiculous is that the guy has never played the game. He did that reimagining based on the trailer. So I think that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
That he hasn't even played the game, and he kind of has some of the elements kind of down a little bit. I mean, obviously, the look is... Well, I mean, it's Doom. So
it's colorful.
When I say the look is similar, it's like not really. But like the UI is kind of like all in the same places. So this is really funny. I thought that was funny. All right. Dungeon Buster in chat says, LOL, I saw this mod. It's pretty wild. And Dark Tetsuya says, Doom was WADS, if I remember correctly.
It is WADS.
It's WADS. All right. And speaking of WADS, our last story tonight before we open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, has to do with pornography. Yay. What does that have to do with video games? Because this is... it's a parody porn. Like some classic parody porns of the past, like Edward Penis Hands. But this porn is based on a video game, which, by the way, I would like the authors of these articles to know, this is not the first to be done on a video game. Because you think reading scripts live on this show is riveting, go back to like the first 100 of OLR, when this is a very different show, when we would watch porn live during the show, such titles as Dance, Dance, Fuck. Remember when we had that?
Yeah.
And we watched that because we're just watching it on a radio show, so it's not obscene. So we watched Dance, Dance, Fuck and gave our live review of that. We also watched Final Fuck X 1 week. Remember that?
Yes,
I remember that. Cosplayers? Well, the women were cosplaying. The men were
Yes, Dance, Dance, Fuck had really nothing to do with DDR.
No, it didn't. I think it just used the word dance twice, which might have actually been a misprint. I don't know. But anyway... What makes this especially notable is that, you know, the technology and film quality and all that has changed a lot since the days of Dance, Dance, Fuck. Didn't you get Dance, Dance, Fuck on like a VCD?
It was on a DVD. Garbage. It was like I was looking for DDR stuff online on eBay and that somehow came up. Like I typed Dance, Dance, Revolution and it's like I saw that there. I'm like, I have to get that.
Well, Overwatch is the subject of the porn parody from Brazzers Entertainment. I'm not familiar with them somehow, but I guess they have done porns like Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Suicide Squad. So they are doing a porn called Oversnatch, a triple X parody, which does involve Overwatch characters. You actually have the dude dressed up as Reaper. So finally the dudes are cosplaying too. and they're hiding his face by dressing him up as Reaper, which, you know, is probably for the best.
It's not Reaper?
Not cool, Loki.
I'm just saying, you know, they tend to do like...
The name changes?
Yeah.
It's Reaper.
Is it Anus Reaper or something like that?
Aletta Ocean is the name of the female character, and she's dressed as Widowmaker. You see, in the trailer, they are kind of they're standoffish a little bit. They're kind of, you know, there's this very sexual tension between them, and we don't know how they're going to resolve it because the trailer ends. So we'll have to find out when this comes out.
They talk it out.
this comes out when? Next week, I think. I don't know. I thought I had a date. I think the date was in the trailer, and it's sometime pretty soon. So there's no word if there's Tracer or any other characters from Overwatch in the game. All we see so far is Reaper and Widowmaker. So Oversnatch, a Brazzers XXX parody. And my question is, who's going to move the payload? Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you would like to give the show a call and talk about anything you would like, maybe not the last story, but maybe there's something else you would like to comment on that we have talked about tonight. Orange Lounge Radio, again, all one word on Skype. We are going to take your calls before we get to the FUs of the Week. By the way, you should, I mean, if you like porn or you like Overwatch, you should check out that trailer. There's no porn in it, but the costumes are pretty well done.
Yeah, they have good customers, that's for sure.
All right, let's get to the Skype line. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
God damn it, Rob. You have a perverted sense of humor, dude.
Me? This is a family show.
Payload.
Hi, Rama. What's on your mind, buddy?
A couple of things.
I'm sorry, there was a comment on that article that was too fucking good that said, so who's going to get the lay of the game? I swear to God, if that movie doesn't end with lay of the game, then, like, throw it in the fucking garbage because it's a shit parody if it doesn't end with lay of the game. You think I was making a mistake reading comments on an internet video game news article, but once in a fucking while, you hit gold. But, yeah.
I want you to know we do the same shit on our show as well. we have strange news from Japan, and we troll the comment section, and it's usually really, really bad.
It usually is. Speaking of comments, Bobby Blackwolf in chat, the real trick is how do those costumes look crumpled up on the floor by the bed?
Funny bed. You should mention that, because when I shared that article to my wall, a bunch of us came up with two questions. Number one, who is commissioning the costumes? Mm-hmm. Number two, who are they going to get to play as May?
Well, if there's even more than the two characters, they might just be doing like a 10-minute short and they're expecting people will buy it because, LOL, it's Overwatch. I mean, you know, we're not the only gaming blog or podcast or media giving that thing free for listening this week. Oh, there was a gay one. There was a gay Pokemon Go. Was there a straight one too?
A straight one, but it was like basically they had the female stars in like those Pokemon hoodies.
Okay, they did the exact same thing with gay porn, except it was like Pikachu was wearing a yellow jockstrap or something like that. Like, it was just like, it was exactly as fucking stupid as you'd think. Which porn is supposed to be. Porn is supposed to be stupid. It's just sex. Anyway.
Is it right up there with the Captain America one as well?
Didn't they have a gay parody? I think they did. Civil War?
Yes they did.
I don't Amazing. Recognize... for some reason, when you said Captain America, I thought Captain... or was it a Captain Planet or whatever?
Captain Planet?
The only different. Captain Planet I will recognize now is the Don Cheadle Captain Planet. I do not recognize any other Captain Planets other than the Don Cheadle
all right.
Captain Planet.
Rama, I don't think you called in just to talk about porn tonight, but here we are. What did you want to talk about?
No, I wanted to talk about the Luminous game for mobile, because sure. I decided to spend some of my credit and buy the game.
And? I could tell
where
this is
going. And
that's
what happened.
That's it. There it is. Good night. Thanks, Robin, for calling. There's his review on Luminous.
It's a good game. It's fun. I don't believe the game is worth $3. It's worth 99 cents.
ActDev says that was a sigh out of 10.
Okay.
But it has shining, Rama. It has shining.
Yes. Don't get it twisted. I love the music in the game. I mean, the music really sets the tone, and it's vertical, which is cool. Now, if you liked the original Luminous that came out for PSP, there is a game on Android called Rebirth.
Mm.
Play just like that one, and it's horizontal, and that one is just as fun. I just look at it this way. If you like the original version and you want to keep playing that, get Rebirth. If you want to try this new one, get the updated one. But what's interesting is that when I went looking for the game, evidently, if you get the import, if you're able to download the import version, it's free.
You know what would have sweetened the pot a little bit, I think, since we talk about, like, the music is great? What if you bought the game for $3.99 and you got the soundtrack for free? Because I can't imagine that in the Apple Store or something, like, don't they do, like, bundled things all the time there? I know they do with CDs and stuff. Like, couldn't you just get, like, the soundtrack for free when you get the game? And that would, like, sweeten the pot a lot, don't you think?
It would, but the thing is, when it comes, I don't really buy a lot of games on the Play Store because I have my ways of trying games out. Well, just neither here nor there.
Oh boy, all right.
I don't see a way, unless they email you a copy of the, like, a download code with your receipt, you know, that would be the only way they could do it.
I don't know how the Play Store works as much because I happen to be an iPhone user. But with the iTunes, like, I know when you buy CDs on iTunes, which I haven't done in a long time, but you can do it. Like, sometimes they'll throw in a music video for free, which is somewhere else in the store, but it just comes bundled with it. Or sometimes you get, like, a PDF book with all the art in it, and that just comes with it. So I can't imagine it can't work the other way around, where you could download an app and it triggers that you get access to the soundtrack as well. I mean, fuck, if they could have pushed everybody's fucking iTunes accounts to get that U2 album a couple of years ago.
Boo!
There's a way to do it.
See, but what I meant by grabbing, like, games alternately, I don't mean, like, downloading for free. There is an app for Android called QOAP. QOAP. You download it. It lets you, it connects you to all of the import games on the Japanese Google Play Store. And pretty much a lot of my friends play those, because here's the thing. The difference is that in the Japanese games, you're getting more freebies, more bonuses, more stats for the characters that you're playing, as opposed to level grinding and getting, on the American one, you're level grinding, you get a piece of bread, as opposed to the Japanese one, you're level grinding, you get a whole loaf.
Okay, that makes sense. I got you. I thought you were talking about CD stuff, so I'm glad you clarified that.
Oh, no.
Gotcha.
No.
All right, so instead of Luminous, what was that game called again?
Rebirth.
All right, I will make a note to check that out if it's on iTunes and the iOS platform.
Check it out. And another thing that really grinds my gear about this game, it seems there is this trend where if you're not connected to a network, the game will not play. The game will play, but if it finds out that you're not on a network, the game just locks up. I'm just like, seriously?
It's that stinking, it always, because it gets all the patch data online when you connect, and the Square games do this too, and it's really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, same thing with Sailor Moon Drops. It's like, I can only play the first three levels of whatever I'm in. If I pass those levels, if there's no internet connection, I can't play the next one.
I think it's an anti-Loki thing so that he can't cheat. I don't know. That's my assumption.
There's always a way.
How's Nonstop Night going?
It's going fine.
Yeah. All right, Rama, anything else on your mind before I take another call?
No, that's it, bro.
All right. Take care, my friend. Anime Jam session on Tuesday, right?
You got it.
All right. We'll be there. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see if we get more calls here at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But we do have another call, so let's get to it. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Regine here.
You don't know your own name. No, that's okay. Hi, Regine.
Actually, when you were talking, I was starting to hear my own voice coming through my headset. So
it's all good.
It kind of threw me off.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Actually, I had a couple of questions regarding modding PCs, and I'm not sure if you specifically would know the information or not. Maybe Loki might. I don't know.
Or our chat room. We have this whole crowdsourced chat room since we do this live.
Ultimately, I would like to my computer over time, for the most part, everything's stock and with the exception of my RAM, which I upgraded from 4 gigabytes of DDR3 to 8. Now, with that being said, I have three questions. First being, would I see any benefit to upgrading the RAM yet again to 16 gigabytes of DDR3?
Would you see a benefit from upgrading 8 more gigs of RAM in the machine? Would you see that necessarily in the games? Because that's all about how much memory is on your graphics card, right? Not so much the system. But the system is going to perform.
Well, it depends. I mean, you're going to see some improvements because, the less it has to write to a disk cache, the better off you are because it's going to be using your RAM, and RAM is a lot faster than writing to a disk. So it will have some improvements there, but, is it going to cause your games to look better? Probably not. It may just give you a little bit. It depends where your bottlenecks are.
And some crowdsourced answers here, because admittedly, I don't know a lot about this subject. I just kind of go off of what I think I know. But some comments in our chat room. Brad from Pod Culture says, more RAM is always better. Rama in chat says, you'll get better performance and stability. And Dungeon Buster says, yes, it will help, especially if you multitask a lot.
Now, one thing I've always been mentioning since I first got this computer is eventually I want to upgrade the graphics card, because it's a relatively old card. I think it's like a GTX 610 or something like that. But anyway, before I do upgrade that, do I necessarily have to upgrade my power adapter, whatever you want to call it?
Your power supply?
Power supply to 500 or 550 or whatever.
What you would do is when you look at, there's a couple things you do. First off, you look at the actual graphics card, because they'll usually give you a recommendation of the power supply that you need for it. The other thing you can do is online, there's a lot of those power wattage calculators where you basically put the components that you have in your PC and kind of see, what you need. Or you just buy a really fucking big power supply and just say, whatever, this will run it. But yeah, a lot of the things, even though a lot of graphics cards do take a lot of power, they've been more power efficient lately, so I don't know if it's increased that much. Just look at the power supply. It should give you a recommendation of the minimum power supply needed for that. You'll probably be fine with that, unless you have a ton of hard drives or something, but I would just start there, or maybe even go 100 watts over that.
Rama in chat suggests always upgrade the power supply first, 650 watts or better. Dungeon Buster says don't cheap out on the power supply.
And the other thing, too, to consider is, considering how old your computer is, if the power supply is old, those don't always work at full capacity after a certain amount of time, so you'll want to replace it anyways.
Yeah, and usually like the first thing that'll fault on my computers are the power supply. It's usually the first, and it's not always the most pleasant thing when those things go out either. So, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to feeling as popular as Leo Laporte, so this is fun. But Rageinator, what games are you playing with all this stuff? Like, what necessity? Because, I know you talk a lot about the Magic games and those trading card games, and to be honest, I don't think you're going to see a lot of improvement in those types of games with these upgrades in the system. But if you're playing something more like, I know you've expressed interest in some of the Final Fantasy MMOs in the past, Final Fantasy 14, absolutely. You'll get a new graphics card and all that shit. That's going to be a way better frame rate.
Yeah, honestly, most of my games run pretty well on medium to high settings just fine as it is. The only trouble is, there's one game that I do want to play right now that really, really chugs. Luckily, I haven't sunk any money into it. I just got the free version, but it would be Killer Instinct on Windows 10. And I would imagine that. Plus, I haven't tried them out just yet, but I would imagine that the remastered versions of BioShock 1 and 2, I got those for free. Those are probably going to have frame rate issues, my guess. I would imagine pretty much the higher end games from here on out are going to see frame rate issues because I have older cards. So I kind of figured be a little proactive. That way I can kind of keep up with things. I like all the games that you had mentioned before, but also I like to play a little bit of everything. So.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's just inevitable that every few years, especially if you want to play the cutting edge stuff, you will have to, you know, upgrade some of the parts in the machine. And I guess this is why the consoles are now starting to take a very similar approach, is that, well, we're doing these incremental upgrades since people do the incremental upgrades on their PC, but we'll see if it's a strategy that pays off. Anyways, Raginator, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in another call, all right? But sure. Thanks for the call. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you would like to call and get in, I've probably got enough time to squeeze in one more call. Do we have any last-minute stories, Loki, we got to squeeze in here?
Yeah, my last-minute story is my stupid wireless network card that was a USB thing that I bought for my laptop because it upgrades it to a wireless AC. Mm-hmm. Decided, hey, fuck you, I'm not going to work.
You know, I have one, and Shane has been borrowing it. So
that's
right.
I'm just going to go buy a new one, all but right. It's my kid's fault, to be honest. It's because, like, I leave my laptop.
Blame them.
Very dumb. I leave my laptop on the ground because I have this really heavy cooling tray, and it sits on the ground when I'm, you know, when I get up from the couch and stuff. And they're reckless, and they accidentally step on things, and I think that they've stepped on it before.
All right. We got one more call coming on. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brad from Pod Culture.
Hey, Brad. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, you were talking about hardware or accessories and stuff earlier with your little Pokemon Go device, and I picked up a new piece of hardware earlier. I got one of the Xbox One S controllers from the Evil G.
Oh, okay. What'd you think of that?
Well, I got the Gears of War exclusive one that they had because my PC controller died. So I had to pick up a new controller, and these have Bluetooth in them now.
Okay,
or work better with Bluetooth.
Makes
sense.
You
don't have to have that damn dongle.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's pretty nice.
Are you playing anything on PC with it, or are you kind of sticking to Xbox?
No Man's Sky.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Awesome. What does it? Did they change like how it kind of feels compared to the controllers that are out today? Or
a little bit. The shoulder buttons aren't as clacky as they are on the first one, and the thumbpad, or not thumbpad, the thumbsticks seem to be a little more sensitive.
Okay, so it's a little more sensitive. What about the D-pad? The D-pad was something I never really liked, especially on the old 360 controller. It was a beast. What's it like on this new one?
Well, I mean, it's to me, it feels the same as the regular Xbox One controller.
I see.
The only reason I picked the Xbox One S controller up is because of the Bluetooth functionality. I don't have to have a wire now.
No, it makes sense. Wireless is where it's at. You know, I still have a wired 360 controller that I sometimes use on PC because it works.
That's it what I works. Was using. I had a Razer Sabertooth that just finally died.
Now I have a Steam controller, and I really like that because it does a little feedback thing as you're moving. I like it. It's kind of like it tickles your thumb as you're moving it around the...
I have like one of those because I have a Steam Link.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not using that on your PC.
Because No Man's Sky doesn't stream very well on it, apparently.
That reminds me. Did you ever give us an impression about your Steam controller?
I don't like it, but I'm also not a big fan of change. And that is just one weird-ass controller.
As far as I go, I thought I did talk about it a week or two after I got the device. You just might not have been here that week.
I just don't remember.
Oh, I like it. It's kind of like funky with the whole like trying to type with it is really funny. But I like the feedback thing in the D-pad. It's weird, but it like kind of lets you know that it's sensing the movement that you're doing. I like it.
Okay. Is it like the 3D touch on your iPhone?
I don't have 3D touch on my iPhone. I have a 6, not a 6S or a 7. So, and
what time to upgrade?
Well, I thought I might have talked about this last week. I don't remember, but I've actually decided this is going to be the first time that I'm eligible for an upgrade that I'm going to sit out. I'm not that excited about iPhone 7. I don't think the time is right for me to jump ship to Android either. I don't think, like, you know, I see Alan's phone and I'm like, and plus if I need to use an Android for something, which I've had to before, I've been very curious about podcasting on Android and how that works and all that stuff. So, Alan shows me all that stuff. So I kind of like that we have both in the household, but just, now's not the time for iPhone. There's a lot of rumors that they're going to do something major for the 10th anniversary, although it would be very weird for them to do the major upgrade on the off cycle. the camera upgrades is just not enough for me. My current phone is really, really good. So we'll see.
Jump ship. I have an S7 Edge, and the camera on that is amazing.
Mm.
Not a note. I'm crazy, but not that crazy.
I don't take pictures a lot. I take pictures of the cat. I take selfies. I don't take very scenic types of pictures very often. I don't take pictures.
Take a lot of pictures of the cats.
Yeah, it's true. I get some really good pictures of the cats because, you know, it's we had a cat that passed like 3 years ago, and once in a while when I'm going through pictures on my phone or on my computer, I'll come across a picture. So, aw, I miss that little fucker. You know that.
And Facebook, memories is a bitch. Oh,
Facebook memories can kind of be cruel.
Yes, because they keep bringing Clara up.
Yeah, I know. It happens. All right. Well, Brad from Pod Culture, my friend, we're going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks for the call.
All righty, man.
Take care. Later on.
All
right. Bye-bye. All right. That is going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Sorry if you didn't get through, but consider sending us an email. participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Or we will be back in 2 weeks here at Orange Lounge Radio. Before we wrap things up, though, we got to get back to work tomorrow on a Monday. So we need to clear our system of the angst in a segment we call the FUs of the Week.
Loading. F you to my stupid network card just because, I don't know, it just decided to stop working. And then on top of that, because that wouldn't be a big deal because my laptop has a built-in network card. My built-in network card says, hey, I'm not going to fucking enable myself anymore. So, fuck you. So now I have to go to Walmart to buy a new network card tonight.
F you to the fact that this weekend was really busy and I didn't feel like I got to relax a lot. Although the mani-pedi was nice, I will say. I was pretty relaxing, if nothing else. And F you to the fact that I'm just hearing that Arnold Palmer died, the golfer and creator of one of my favorite drinks to order at a restaurant. That's not a joke. I really do like the half iced tea, half lemonade thing. It's one of my favorite things to drink. So that sucks. 2016 is an asshole. Seriously. Well, the good news is when we come back, 2016 will be one step closer to being over because it'll already be October by the time we're back. But we will not be here again next week, don't forget. So we will see you in 2 weeks with an all-new edition of Orange Lounge Radio. Hey, remember, if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or five about the show and help us spread the word because, you know, we don't have $1 million magazine behind us. We're not sponsored by YouTube or Jeff Keighley, or IGN, we're not any of that stuff. So, we need word of mouth. We really rely on that.
I don't think anyone has a magazine behind them anymore.
Yeah, probably not anymore. A digital magazine, I guess. We don't have any of that behind us, so help us spread the word. And, a nice five-star review on a place like iTunes or wherever you found this show, Google Store or wherever, that goes a long way as well. So we really appreciate that. But that is going to do it tonight for a couple of weeks. But first, our final thought. Loki.
I guess I should play some games this week. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on sale right now. I may peruse that. I also been eyeing Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, which is part of the Humble Bundle right now. So go pick that
up. Nice.
For $1 and get Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
I might have to look into that.
Yep.
And my final thought is I'm really looking forward to GamerX, and I'm looking forward to meeting some of you there. Please don't be shy. I know it's weird sometimes when we go from the online space into the real world space, but I promise you, even if I have resting bitch face, I'm super approachable, and I want to meet more people and listeners. So please don't feel free to come up to the table and say hi. If I'm not there, somebody who knows me is there and will know when I'll be back. Just remember, I'm trying to enjoy the con too, so I don't want to be at that table all day every day. We also will have the panel on Sunday at 2:00, so I would really encourage you to check that out, and just really looking forward to playing some games. Take my 3DS, we'll play some games. It's a bummer I didn't have a console that's the size of a battery that I could take to the hotel room with me and have full console gaming in my hotel room.
So what is the time to stories of, oh, I lost my console because, you know, they had...
Oh, I threw the power brick through the TV.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, we will see you in 2 weeks unless a Nintendo NX announcement happens this week. That's the only way you're going to get a surprise OLR show. So, Nintendo, a lot is resting on you. But I have a feeling, despite all that, we'll be seeing you in 2 weeks here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great couple of weeks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks again. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.